It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 21st day of July, 2021. July is 3 weeks old now, and just about 10 days left in it. It is lovely outside. It's been a beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal Manchinistan. And, well, we've reached the middle of the week. You know, hump day, downhill to Friday, but of course you know, that it is so much more than that, because, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. And I regret to inform you that the after briefly reopening the Cathedral of Common Sense, the imaginary Cathedral of Common Sense, we've had to close it again voluntarily because we don't want to be like other churches and be super spreaders of the Delta variant. Right. So the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men are busy down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, but it's all curbside and carry out again. But oh my goodness gracious, what a curbside carry out it was. Hot roast beef sandwiches with au jus and melted cheese and sauteed onions and mushrooms and green peppers and all the fixings, garden fresh tomatoes, straight warm, just barely rinsed in warm water out of the garden, patted dry and sliced up for sandwiches. Oh, yes, my goodness gracious, it was fabulous. And they even got all the iron skillets out, and they made up a bunch of pineapple upside-down cakes, out on the smokers. Because it turns out pineapple upside-down cake in an iron skillet done on a smoker is some kind of fantastic. The brown sugar caramelizes. Oh, so very, very nice indeed. So welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And, of course, if you would like to, pop on by headon.live, click on chat room. If you've never been there before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and we'll all have a wonderful time. And you'll be greeted by early arrivers Otto DeShot, Squeaky, and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Yeah, hi, I'm Robin. Did I get it? I didn't do whatever. I just wanted to make sure I got that. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know that the stream is clear and we're sending out a stream, unlike yesterday evening when my blondness kicked in. We're sending out a stream, and it's working nicely, I hope. And we should have some pretty meaningful prayer meeting Wednesday services on the way. Let's see here. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. It being the 21st day of July, we have thanks to send out to our 21st day of the month subscribers. And by the way, I don't know if Flavio's listening, but I think I found the source of that fading in and out thingy. It wasn't necessarily me moving around the studio, because, I mean, that will do that. But no, I checked the sound settings on my microphone, and I don't know why, but probably Lucifer came in here and audio engineered for me a little bit. But the the noise gate was in fact turned on. It is no longer turned on, and hopefully that will take care of that problem, although I seem to note that there is some air conditioner noise nonetheless. So thank you very kindly to Harold here on the 21st day of July, our 21st day of the month subscriber. Thank you, Harold. Harold, of course, being the president, CEO, and founder of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Sostris. And thank you kindly for being the subscriber on the 21st day of the month. Thank you, Harold. This would be a zero subscriber day were it not for you. And thank you to David for jumping in on fundraising today as well. That is so very much appreciated. And what it all boils down to is, let's see here. We are at the fundraising goal of $775. We're at $775 for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Sadly, the deacons will not be moving among the congregation. We'd actually worked a couple of pounds off of them, but then we had to close down again because of the Delta variant. So we're at $775 because David jumped in, in the last, since the program ended yesterday. But there's good news because it is Tracy's birthday. And if you were listening to yesterday's program, you know she put a double nickel challenge on the table for her 55th birthday, which I hope she is enjoying right now making merry over. But for her birthday today, she is going to double $45 more after David having jumped in. So $45 more will be doubled courtesy of Tracy, and by the time we're done, we'll be down to, if that's met, $675. And that's profoundly important. That means after that's met, we'll only have $75 more to go to be fully funded for this past Monday. We struggle to stay current in full funding, and it's so important that we do because, Lord, running an internet radio network is not cheap, or is not either cheap or easy. So all of that is out there and waiting. Let's see. Appalling, P-A-U-L-I-N-G. Joey writes, on this day in 1861, the Confederates beat back the Union handily at Bull Run in Manassas, Virginia. It was 6 years ago, Agnes and I actually hiked, accidentally, that entire battlefield. It was a beautiful July day in 2016, and I thought, well, you know, let's just walk around, and we just started following a trail, thinking there would at some point be a branch off trail to loop us back to the, no, and so we kept walking. And I think we put in something like in excess of 10 miles that day. Saw some fascinating things, but didn't have so much as a bottle of water with us. It was a heck of a hike. And at one point in time, we got down into the lower area where Bull Run Creek actually is. Beautiful old stone bridge. But there was a whole bunch of the blackberries were coming ripe. And we picked blackberries, and it was a beautiful afternoon, and we both, you know, sort of hydrated by eating wonderful, wonderful blackberries, and got to them before the bears did. I don't know if there's any bears at Bull Run. Didn't see any bulls either, for that matter. Never mind. Jeffrey on Prayer Meeting Wednesday already. Yes, and there was a sequel to that show that ran the next year that was called Bull Run 2, which actually pretty much looked like a rerun of Bull Run 1 because the Confederates again defeated the Union badly in 1862 at the very same movie theater in Manassas. There was a part 3 to the movie that took place in North Carolina, but that feature had a much different ending as the Union resoundingly beat Confederates at the Battle of Bull Durham. Good God. You got to stop letting the giraffe drink, Joey. Bull Durham, Speaking of bulls, looks like there was a bull market yesterday after the bullshit 700-point contrived crash that the major investors tried to pull off 2 days ago. The corporate coup attempt to make Joe Biden look bad pretty much failed as the market nearly recouped all of its losses from the previous day. Of course, the right wing will try to spin it as Joe Biden's policies called the market, caused the market to crash. Yeah, no. Speaking of bull, did anybody reach through the television last night to go all Boucher on Rand Paul? The Boucher is in reference to Rand Paul's neighbor who beat the crap out of him 7 years ago down at his old Kentucky home. Jeffrey and I were incensed at the behavior of Rand Paul with the total disrespect he displayed toward Dr. Fauci. I just wanted Dr. Fauci to jump out of his chair and pummel Paul just like they did used to do in the pre-Civil War days in the Houses of Congress. And speaking of appalling, I don't know how Todd in South Carolina, Steve in Georgia, and Scotty in San Diego watch Washington Journal. I appreciate how you guys are willing to take one for the team, because Jeffrey and I just can't do it. The last time Jeffrey and I watched that whitewash of White Washington, better known as the Washington Journal, we broke Richard's television with Jeffrey smashing his prongs into the television screen while I simultaneously threw the remote after the host would not push back on the right-wingers that constantly call the show. Well, Jeffrey, meanwhile, has a bulletin. The basketball team in Washington used to be known as the Washington Bullets, and they supposedly changed the name because of all the gun violence. Hell, all they had to do with that name was just shorten it, and they would have had a better name for the team and would have been very appropriate, that being the Washington Bulletins, in honor of the Washington Journal, which has tons of bullshit. And even with his nose as high above sea level as it is, Jeffrey can still spot it. Congratulations to Flavio in Wisconsin as his Milwaukee Bucks battled back after being down 2-0 to win the NBA championship. Knew a lot of people rooting for Phoenix. Oh, well. By the way, as far as vaccines in the military are concerned, per Steve in New York's email, George Washington had all of his soldiers vaccinated against smallpox all the way back in the late 1700s, and so did John Adams at the turn of the 19th century. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 21st of July, with Giraffe still trying to be bullish on this country. And there is, of course, a $10 bullshit show challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. That means there's $55 in challenges out there. And that'll get us down to, if met, both of them, that'll get us down to $665. And we'll be only $65 away from being fully funded for this past Monday. Ralph says, I'm going to kick $20 to Tracy's 55 challenge or the double nickel challenge in honor of Nancy Pelosi rejecting Jim Shorts Jordan and Jim Banks. Yeah, it was, she stuck them in the gym bag. That was terrible. That was giraffe worthy. But we'll get to the rest of that in a little bit, because Kevin McCarthy, well, I guess we'll get to it right now. Kevin McCarthy then threw a hissy and pulled all of his Republicans off the committee, but he couldn't pull Liz Cheney off. Then again, you wouldn't want to pull the wig off Dick in a Wig, because then you'd find out it was still just Dick Cheney. I'm back. You know, I mean, hormones are funny things. Just say it, not say it. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly. But Nancy Pelosi did say, she issued a statement in rejecting Jim Shorts Jordan. The violent domestic attack, Speaker Pelosi said, on Congress on January 6th was the worst assault on the Capitol since the War of 1812 and the worst domestic assault on American democracy since the Civil War. We are facing a radically new threat in the kinds of forces that combined to attack our government on January 6th. The future of our democracy is on the line. This assault was an attempt to overthrow the government. We need a comprehensive investigation as to who organized this attack, who paid for it, how they nearly succeeded in overthrowing a presidential election, why they did it, and how we must organize ourselves to prevent anything like it from ever happening again. It had been our hope to establish a bipartisan independent national commission, but there's no prospect for that commission at this time because of insufficient support from Republican senators. Therefore, the House established the Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The Select Committee on the January 6th Insurrection will investigate and report upon the facts and causes of the terrorist mob attack. Good for her. She used the word terrorist. On the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. It will also be charged with reporting its findings, conclusions, and recommendations for preventing future attacks. Monday evening, the minority leader recommended five members to serve on the Select Committee. I have spoken with him this morning about the objections raised about Representatives Jim Banks and Jim Jordan and the impact their appointments may have on the integrity of the investigation. I also informed him that I was prepared to appoint Representatives Rodney Davis, Kelly Armstrong, and Troy Nels, and requested that he recommend two other members. With respect for the integrity of the investigation, with an insistence on the truth, and with concern about statements made and actions taken by these members, I must reject the recommendations of Representatives Banks and Jordan to the Select Committee. The unprecedented nature of January 6th demands this unprecedented decision. Yes, and that is a very, very polite way to go about telling Jim Jordan and Jim Banks to fuck right off. And it was decidedly necessary to do that. Because it would have been nothing but the Jim Shorts Jordan show. That was why he was put on there, was to keep anything from being discovered. Keep the sources from being identified. The funders, the originators. So now the committee will go forward with one Republican. Dick and a Wig Cheney. Here's hoping that she does her damn job. Of course, I guess she sees this as a way of trying to build a, and you know, she's a presidential run in 2024. Maybe she wants to be the second female vice presidential candidate, or maybe the second Cheney vice presidential candidate. She would be both. No, she'd be the third female vice presidential candidate. I caught myself. I'm getting better. But it would have been a nightmare. Here's the thing, though. I don't know. How many other... So those three will be forbidden to... forbidden by Kevin McCarthy to participate. The three that she... That were mentioned in the statement... I wonder what would happen if they don't, does she have the power to fill those vacancies? I don't know, but I have to think that Kevin McCarthy, being the goon that he is, has probably been outmaneuvered already. Yes, in fact, you're right. Billable Rick said, does Joey get a cowbell for his reference to the Battle of Bull Durham that happened just after the British bombed the colonial airports in the little-known War of 1862. I mean, the war that happened in 1862 is pretty well-known. But yeah, and that was somewhere along the way, along with the Bowling Green Massacre. Oh, God. It's exhausting sometimes, the idiocy, the stupidity. Yeah. So, let's get into... Let's get into the meat, if you will, of prayer meeting Wednesday. We've got the usual story of disgusting religious behavior, because, well, every day could be prayer meeting Wednesday, frankly, because there's a story every day of some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian behaving horribly, doing horrible things, often to children. But instead, I think we will start this prayer meeting Wednesday with a story that's not directly related, you know, to church. But you'll see the connection, I think. The story comes out of Talavana, where actual scientists and doctors talking about the coronavirus have no impact whatsoever on the maggot faithful. And I've come to this realization and have mentioned it previously, but it's worth mentioning again. And that is, the maggots are no longer a political movement. They are a cult. No less than the Krishna cult or the Moonies or the Heaven's Gate weirdos or the Branch Davidians or the Jim Jones Guyana cult. The only difference between the maggots and the MAGA cult and their cult leader at the top, COVID Caligula, and the Jonestown cult or the Branch Davidians or Heaven's Gate, is that the MAGA cult and their cult leader are far more deadly. I don't have the numbers exactly at hand for how many died at Jonestown or at the Branch Davidian compound outside of Waco or and the Heaven's Gate cult. I think we were talking about, we talked about the Heaven's Gate cult, because that was what, around, that was like 1997, the most recent of the three, suicides. But the MAGA cult is wiping out its adherents with unprecedented efficacy. And when I say it's no longer a political movement, I mean, they'll go and do political things, they'll go and vote the way they're told, but it is an orthodoxy now. thank you, Steve. Steve in New York says, I'm here. You can relax. I was worried, Steve. I was worried. But while they do go and vote and so forth, what moves them, what motivates them, is the blind loyalty they have to their dumb leader. Nitwit Nero knew what he was talking about when he said, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose a single vote. Yeah. Other cult leaders have experienced that known things like that. Look, Jim Jones said, no, it's going to kill you. Drink it. And they said, oh, it's going to kill us? Let's drink it. Heaven's Gate, same, same. Branch Davidians. Yep. And so, the MAGA cult, 900 dead in Jonestown, Matt in San Francisco tells me. And Matt points out, yeah, Trump outdid old Jimbo Jones. Damn straight. And climbing. Because practically every COVID death now is a direct correlation with being a Trump voter and being unvaccinated. I mean, there are some people who are unvaccinated and dying of COVID or coming near death who aren't maggots. Sadly, some of those people come from the African-American community that has a long history of fear over what the medical community might do relative to experimenting on them. And Tracy touched on that last night. The whole globe round. Do you remember, what was it, Pakistan? When there was an effort to immunize people and the terrorists then moved in afterward and killed people who had been vaccinated because they thought that the vaccine had something to do with the Central Intelligence Agency. And, of course, Robert Kennedy Jr. is out there specifically targeting the African-American community with that historical information as a reason not to get vaccinated. So this is not happening in some form of isolation. No. 76 Branch Davidians died April 1993, Steve tells me, serving as the a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. 909 out of Jonestown, all but two from apparent cyanide poisoning. Jones and some members of the People's Temple had called it revolutionary suicide. On a positive note, Steve notes, the Heaven's Gate folks got some great high tops to keep.
Yeah.
Probably got buried in them. God. And moreover, based on what Dick and a Wig said to Jim Shorts Jordan during Trump's act of war against the U.S. government or Trump's act of war against the people of the U.S., they're interchangeable, doesn't that mean Jim Shorts is a suspect and needs to be investigated, asking for a friend? Yeah. But I think if Nancy Pelosi said that part out loud, the howling would be heard on Mars. And who, look, she doesn't miss much. She's the Speaker of the House. She gets information. She doesn't tell us everything she knows. And I'm not trying to be simple or a little fangirl about it or anything, but it's possible, maybe, that somewhere in the far corners of the Department of Justice, that people like Mo Brooks Les Brains and Jim Shorts Jordan and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, that they are being criminally investigated. It just hasn't leaked yet. Speaking of which, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. I've got something here. Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball took some questions about vaccines. Get the hockey puck. Wrong button. Here we go. Can't even hear the question.
I think my colleague, Democrat Marie Newman, that is across the hall from me, should probably get some help herself, because she's the one that attacked me on a video by planting a flag out there in the hallway, but starting on my nameplate. You see, she started that. You do understand that, right? She started by a video on my nameplate.
No, she started, yes. This is about the great trans sign debate. I had the wrong clip. We'll go back to that one in a minute.
It's dangerous.
Do you feel any responsibility for keeping people in Georgia safe? You know, there are children.
Do you feel any responsibility for keeping people in Georgia safe and encouraging them to get vaccinated? That's the question that's hard to hear. The reporter says there are skinny people who have died of the coronavirus, at which point in time Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball begins to laugh and grin like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. Because skinny people dying is freaking hilarious, at least in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball's ears and pass for brains.
You feel any responsibility?
Gee, you crack me up. You know what? I think people's responsibility is their own.
Yeah, people's responsibility is their own. She has no responsibility if her words make people think that there's something wrong with going and getting the vaccine. And, of course, she won't announce whether she's gotten the vaccine, and you know she has. And tried to claim, oh, you're violating my HIPAA rights by even asking me. No, that's not a violation of HIPAA, you goddamned idiot. But back for a moment to the business about her disagreement with Representative Newman, you know, whom she and her her staff attacked because Representative Newman has a child who is trans.
And then it pans to her where, in a militant fashion, she plants a flag. But, you know, and then she talks about her biological son, who she calls her daughter.
You evil twit. It's not her biological son. Not if all of her daughter's gender markers have been changed. Oh, God, the stupidity.
And she talks about wanting, she wants her son to be able to go in women's bathrooms and have all this.
No, she doesn't want her son to go into women's bathrooms. She wants her daughter to go into women's bathrooms. Because gender identity is cultural. And Tracy and I were talking last night about Lena Bloom. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Going to be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. And I guess Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. Well, wants her to go to the boys' restaurant, yeah, because, you know, that would only be a little dangerous.
Same rights as women, but you know what? I have daughters, too, and I don't want men in my daughter's bathroom.
And there aren't going to be any unless, you know, it's like a Republican or some youth pastor or something, because those are the ones who go in women's restrooms. Those are the men who go into women's restrooms. Trans men don't go in women's restrooms. They go to the men's room. Because they're men.
What about our rights? Don't you believe in your rights, our women's rights? And we don't need biological men taking over and conquering women like they are trying to do in sports.
Conquering. Because that... God damn, this woman's stupid. As Agnes pointed out, that bitch just can't stop talking to hear herself rattle. God, if her brains was gas, she wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ant's motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. Honest to Jesus, she wouldn't. But, anyway, these are the people, the Marjorie Trader gangrene cue ball. These are the people who are getting other people killed. Yeah, I'm still tinkering with the audio issues. Thank you, Dave number 11. Dave said, can't really hear the audio, and that I am at the mercy of the sound level of the clip, but you're at about 60% of normal all week. That was hopefully taken care of when I found that I don't know if it was some sort of, I don't know if it was a reboot or if it was the cat or what, had turned the noise gate on, but it's off now, so you're not going to hear that breathing effect anymore. Another thing I probably need to do is, we're at 100% output there. I might need to, but I can't do it without stopping the program. I'll try to remember, because I can see on the meters it's kind of low. And it doesn't really change much if I just get right up on top of the microphone. So thanks for letting me know, Dave. But the larger point... just a second. Sorry about that. Had to reply to something off air. Oh, my God, I think what's far more frightening, Darlene in Connecticut says, is that Marjorie Trader Gangrene has daughters. I don't know whether to feel sorry for those girls or be more concerned she's going to cultivate monsters worse than her. Sometimes they do. And sometimes, on the other hand, they don't. Witness, for instance, the daughter of Kellyanne con artist, or con job, or Conway, who was, who felt she went after her own mom on social media, threatened to leave, move out. Seems to happen more often to right-wingers than it does to progressive or liberal parents. But, you know, there are no hard and fast rules. Yeah, I do. If she has daughters, I feel sorry for them. My God, she probably talks about things as being, you know, curses. And God knows I feel bad for any young girl raised in a conservative household. And, well, you know, it's all your fault. You know, if Eve hadn't talked to that snake. Oh, God. Well, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. We can talk about that kind of thing. What's that? Yogurt versus Boebert. Hello, we at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium proudly announced the creation of a committee to elect a bowl of strawberry yogurt. Remember, yogurt is better than Boebert. Damn straight. That from our pal Dave in the blind. Thank you, Dave. Yogurt is better than Boebert. Under almost any circumstance. So anyway, back to the issue at hand. And like I said, we go to Talibama for this, where, well, they like practitioners of medical science, you know, well enough. But they don't want to be told that the vaccine might save their lives. Because that goes against their belief system. And so this kind of went viral all over the country, but it went viral particularly in Alabama in the last couple of days. AL.com had the story on it. Dr. Brittany Cobia. Okay, well then, Robin, explain Paul Gosar if you can. Well, his entire family despises him. I mean, they might still be Republicans, I don't know, but they damn sure know that their brother is toxic, and they knew he was toxic before he was running, or before he became a maggot. It was before the ascension of Nitwit Nero that Paul Gosar's family was saying, please, please don't send this guy to Congress. We're his brother, we know. Dr. Brittany Cobia, down in Alabama, is a practicing physician that deals with patients suffering from the coronavirus, the Trump pandemic. And looking back to last October and November, right before the peak in Alabama in December of 2020, she noted, Dr. Cobia did, that she was signing 10 death certificates a day. And so she got on Facebook, and apparently the administration of her hospital didn't have any problem with it. Because she can't, the horror is just too much. And she cited posts from Dr. David B. Wilhelm, who had written, "It's been 8 days since my last COVID post. Again, I'm simply trying to let everyone know what's coming and hopefully give you a jump on what you will eventually see in the media. Even if this post isn't well received by some, you need to know the truth. Today, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former head of the FDA, said on CBS, most people will either get vaccinated or have been previously infected, or they will get this Delta variant. Sound familiar? His interview continued, and for most people who get this Delta variant, it's going to be the most serious virus that they get in their lifetime in terms of the risk of putting them in the hospital. This year's virus is not last year's virus." A quote from Dr. Catherine O'Neill, an infectious disease specialist at Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. "It's attacking our 40-year-olds. It's attacking our parents and young grandparents. And it's getting our kids." She said her COVID-19 unit now has more patients in their 20s who were previously healthy. "You have to get vaccinated," Dr. O'Neill said. "That's the only way to end it. Masks and mitigation, they're not going to take it. It's going to be vaccination. Delta variant COVID is now present in all 50 states, and COVID hospital admissions are up nationwide about 40%. Delta is more contagious and is attacking more aggressively in younger age groups compared to previous COVID strains. Dr. Wilhelm continued and said, I will repeat my statement from last week. If you haven't had COVID and you're unvaccinated, then there is a significant likelihood you'll get the Delta variant COVID in the next 60 to 90 days. If that offends any of you, then so be it. There's no more time to sugarcoat this. Vaccines are readily available and are your best tool to fight this infection. Almost 99% of all COVID deaths are now in those who are not vaccinated. Don't wait until it is too late. Dr. David B. Wilhelm, M.D. Dr. Brittany Cobia, down in Talabama, shared all of that and said, I've made a lot of progress encouraging people to get vaccinated lately. You want to know how? She said, I'm admitting young, healthy people to the hospital with very serious COVID infections. One of the last things they do before they're intubated is beg me for the vaccine. I hold their hand and tell them that I'm sorry, but it's too late. A few days later, when I call time of death, I hug their family members and I tell them the best way to honor their loved one is to go get vaccinated and encourage everyone they know to do the same. They cry. And they tell me they didn't know. They thought it was a hoax. They thought it was political. They thought because they had a certain blood type or a certain skin color, they wouldn't get as sick. They thought it was just the flu. But they were wrong. And they wished they could go back. But they can't. So they thank me and they go get the vaccine and I go back to my office, write their death note, and say a small prayer that the loss will save more lives. As always, I'm an open book. Please bring me your questions and I will tell you everything I know and everything I don't. It's not too late. But someday, it might be. Signed, Brittany Cobia, M.D. That's a horror. That is horrifying. And she noted, did Dr. Cobia, all but one of her current patients didn't get the vaccine. She further noted that the one that she was treating who did get the vaccine will recover. In the story at AL.com, it says she and other doctors have worked themselves to the bone when the vaccine wasn't available. And she dealt with tragedy after tragedy. You know, Dr. Cobia said, so many people that did all the right things and yet still came in and were critically ill and died. It's different mentally and emotionally to care for someone who could have prevented their disease but chose not to. You kind of go into it thinking, okay, I'm not going to feel bad for this person because they make their own choice. Stand by. Back in a sec. Never a dull moment. Oh, well, sorry about that. But, no, I think this is some of the most profound stuff that we've heard coming out of coming from a doctor yet. Anyway, Dr. Cobia said, you kind of go into it thinking, okay, I'm not going to feel bad for this person because they made their own choice. But then you actually see them. You see them face to face, and it really changes your whole perspective because they're still just a person that thinks that they made the best decision that they could with the information that they have and all the misinformation that's out there. And now all you really see is the fear and their regret. And even though I may walk into the room thinking, okay, this is your fault, you did this to yourself, when I leave the room, I just see a person that's really suffering, that is so regretful for the choice that they made. And, of course, Talabama doesn't give a good goddamn. Governor Meemaw doesn't give a good goddamn. The Confederate states, the maggot states, don't give a good goddamn. And so Dr. Cobia said she's waiting for an impending doom because children are getting ready to go back to school in places like Talabama, and 70%, just slightly less than 70% of the population of Alabama remains unvaccinated. And in my case, well, the people who are my friends are vaccinated down there because they're not maggots. And Dr. Cobia herself is speaking from experience because she had it. She had it last July. She took every possible precaution. And when she got it, she only had mild symptoms. And as soon as the vaccine came out, no, she wasn't like Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, running around blathering and babbling about, I got natural immunity. No, fuck you, Rand. So she got the vaccine. She got the vaccine, and she was breastfeeding at the time. And she's trying so hard, as so many other physicians and other healthcare providers are. She said, I try to be very non-judgmental when I'm getting a new COVID patient that's unvaccinated, but I really just started asking them, why haven't you gotten the vaccine? And I'll just ask it point blank in the least judgmental way possible. And most of them, they're very honest. They give me answers. Well, I talked to this person. I saw this thing on Facebook. I got this email. I saw this on the news. You know, these are all the reasons that I didn't get vaccinated. And the one question I always ask them is, did you make an appointment with your primary care doctor and ask them for their opinion on whether or not you should receive the vaccine? And so far, nobody has answered that question with yes. And, of course, it's Talabama, where a whole bunch of people don't have doctors to ask because that bloody, miserable, ignorant, stupid, malicious, malignant government didn't accept the Medicare expansion that would have kept their rural hospitals open, or Medicaid expansion, and that would have provided health care to tens of thousands of Alabamians. No, no. Because down in Talabama, they got freedom. Freedom! Good God. So that's Dr. Cobia. Well, she's doing the damn dead level best she can. And there's only so much that she can do. They cry, and they tell me they didn't know. Now, it's worth noting that this thing, it ain't no worse than the flu. Well, there are 11,400 Alabamians who have found out otherwise. And because they found out otherwise, they are not here to tell the rest of the maggots to get their shots. They're dead. They're dead. And I just don't have it in me to say, oh, well, too bad. That's one less Republican voter. I can't do that. God. And nobody says, yeah, I asked my doctor. No. No, I'm allergic to masks, and my congressman told me that fibers from the mask would give me a mask-induced lung cancer. Honest to God, I think the stupid excuses that the antebellum politicians in the Confederacy gave for justifying the enslavement of human beings, those justifications weren't as shabby as the stuff that the maggot politicians are pumping out now. No. And I understand what Dr. Cobia meant. She said, you know, I walk in the room. You heard it. You know, I walk in the room and I think, you know, they're there because these are choices they made of their own volition. But if the choices you're making are on bad information that was deliberately and maliciously passed around, are you really making a choice of your own free will? And so we have the story from California of Brad Vineard. Brad Vineard and Mia, his spouse, were married for 12 years. Late last month, Brad Vineard tested positive for COVID. He was in an intensive care unit for 2 weeks, and then, well, he died. Mia Vineard tested positive for COVID, too, but she survived. And, well, is this a case of live by the sword, die by the sword? Because Brad Vineard had been on Facebook and he said, well, the COVID vaccine is experimental. And, you know, I quit getting the flu after I quit taking the flu vaccine. Yeah. They called him the Bradster. And he is dead. And he leaves a widow to say, it all happened so fast. I wish we would have gotten vaccinated. I mean, one simple shot could have prevented all of this. Yeah, but you would have had to get the Bradster to take it. I wonder if she begged him. I wonder if she didn't get the vaccine because he was such a fervent anti-vaxxer. Oh, it's experimental! Right? And that's, you know, that's just a pluribus unum. That's out of many. That is one story. And there's two or three stories a day like this. And as with Pharaoh of old, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, as with Pharaoh of old, his heart is hardened. These maggots' hearts are hardened, and they will not hear. Dr. Cobia down in Alabama may as well have been screaming to an uncaring sky. Now, she says she's having some more luck now. Yeah, the people who have someone they love die, yet then they want the vaccine. And maybe that's an improvement over the ones that the nurse in South Dakota talked about a couple of months ago who died swearing they did not have COVID-19. Maybe there's a little learning taking place, but a very little learning. Very little. And so then there's, because prayer meeting Wednesday, we've had clips of this woman before. She's a fetus fetishist. She's an on-air personality for the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stan. Sandy Rios. and she's their morning drive time lady.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
And so she went on the air a couple or 3 days ago to talk to the poor benighted fools who tune her in for anything other than entertainment value, to tell them about the Rona.
I do want to tell you that a week ago today, I put my husband took him to the emergency room at the hospital.
Yeah, Sandy? Yeah? Did he fall down the stairs or something? I mean, y'all are good Christians. There's no way he's going to have had the Rona, right?
Because I was worried sick. He was not breathing. He was in a really difficult circumstances.
Huh. She can't just say, hey, y'all, and then no. He was having a hard time breathing. He was in difficult circumstances. Well, I mean, had he gone up to 6 packs of cigarettes a day? I mean, if I was married to Sandy Rios, I got to tell you, I'd be a carton a day and at least a couple of 1.75s of old Panther piss just to get through fucking breakfast. But no. She's building it up for purposes of Draymond.
And when he was placed in the hospital, we found out that he had COVID pneumonia.
Wait a minute. COVID pneumonia? Is that like having COVID, Sandy? Sandy! COVID pneumonia. Because I guess she can't say COVID flu now. Because we've at least gotten to the point where, no, it's not just like the flu.
It'll be gone by spring. Miraculously, it'll be gone by spring.
It was over a year ago. Ain't gone. COVID pneumonia. Which is different from the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu. She had to append that pneumonia on there. I mean, pneumonia happens with COVID. I mean, he didn't have COVID athlete's foot, did he, Sandy? I mean, did he have COVID infatigo? Was it the COVID asthma, Sandy? How about the COVID diverticulitis, Sandy? Not making light of any of these things, but you know, it doesn't make it any less COVID to append another name after it. He had COVID, but she is a maggot, and she is a member of the death cult. And so she still has to try to take a little bit away from the reality of it.
When I talked to the doctor a week ago today, this is Monday, he did not give my husband, Bruce, who you hear, who you guys just love. You've talked to me, many of you, written about how you enjoy when he joins me, his wisdom, his voice, was fighting for his life. The doctor told me he was within of the people who get COVID pneumonia, he was at the top 5% in danger.
Yeah. Probably has a ton of comorbidities. Probably older. And, you know, probably at the top of the list for why he's in the top 5% of the risk group for COVID is because he wasn't vaccinated. You know, these are people who think they can pray away the gay. And they were just praying away the COVID. You know, Jesus ain't going to let us get the COVID. Only people who want to get the COVID is them sinners. Yeah, for fuck's sake. But notice how she continues desperately to try to talk around it. Because her credibility's all tied up in it. Her freaking paycheck is all tied up in it there at the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stan. Which, incidentally, can be heard on low-rent AM and FM bandwidth all over the South and Midwest. I once heard American Family Association radio while driving across the stunningly flat expanse of Talibandiana. I'm sure Dave in the Blind knows exactly what I'm talking about. I heard him once on the way to the Gulf, having left Florence to go down for, I think it was 2018, I was going down for Netroots Nation in New Orleans. And I was in the wilds of far west Alabama and ultimate east Mississippi. And there they were. And I got to admit, I did. I stayed tuned in until the signal faded out because it was some of the best entertainment I'd... Only it wasn't on purpose entertainment. They were just funny because they were so stupid. Which is kind of a shame on me moment, I guess. But I was a little tired. You know, the back roads of Alabama and Mississippi can get kind of wearisome. And it perked me up better than a triple shot cappuccino with a Red Bull chaser. I was wide awake. I was hanging on every word. No, tell me something else stupid, Sandy. And whenever this aired live, don't you just know that the poor things who tune into this not for entertainment purposes were just sitting there and putting their hands in the air and a praying and a mumbling, Marvelline, bring me the Crisco. We got to anoint each other. Poor old Sandy Rios' husband, Bruce, done got the Rona pneumonia. Mercy. Mercy, Emery. Do you want the good Crisco? Any Crisco. This is emergency. We got to get to praying and talking in tongues. Do we still have the snake in the backyard? Maybe we can handle it a little bit and make Bruce feel a little better.
And so, you can imagine what this week, last week, was like. That's why I wasn't with you on the air. Saturday night, I was able to bring Bruce home. So he's home.
And not in a box. I mean, it's the winning. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
On oxygen, and of course, he's not strong. But I am thanking God. I am just completely, completely thanking God. And yeah,
don't thank the doctors. Don't thank the medical professionals who put their own lives at risk to save the life of your husband, Bruce, there, Sandy. Don't thank them. Thank God. Thank the person you couldn't see, whose existence you can't prove. And who gives not a tinker's damn about you, me, or anybody else because, well, you know, great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you.
Yes, if you want to know if I had COVID, yes, I tested positive as well.
Yeah, I knew that wasn't her sweet and dulcet broadcast tone. She usually doesn't sound like she's talking over a sheet of heavy grit sandpaper.
I guess that's why I've been sick so many weeks here. Maybe you didn't realize I was, but I was.
Oh, she's been sick so many weeks. Yeah. Did she go get tested? No, because she's guessing. She was guessing. So that means she probably gave it to Bruce. Because, I don't know, maybe they've got broadcasting studios there in Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. And maybe it's an entire viral swamp there of people who are just making, oh, Jesus is going to keep me from getting a Roner. That's all. I guess that's why I've been so sick for so many weeks, guessing. Guessing. So, now remember Dr. Cobia that we were talking about a few minutes ago. Dr. Cobia said, I damn sure got the vaccine even though I'd already had COVID. Wonder about Sandy.
And we just thought our grandchildren are here with us, and they went to vacation Bible school and came home sick.
Huh, really? You sent your precious little grandchildren to a super spreader event, and they came home sick. And I guess they brought it to you, and you gave it to Bruce. I wonder who Bruce gave it to.
And we immediately caught whatever it was they had. We thought it was just what kids bring home, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You live in a state where less than 34% of the population is vaccinated. And they thought, you know, it's just what kids bring home. You know, you got little boys. Sometimes they bring home a frog in their pocket. You know, maybe you got a little granddaughter. Maybe she comes home with some seashells that a friend gave her at the beach. You know, and the Rona. Nah, it couldn't have been the Rona. I mean, they're good little Christian children, right? These people are so damn dumb. They're so blinded by their blind faith that they can't even process the possibility that they live in a world controlled by the laws of nature and science, and not by, and that they don't live in what Carl Sagan, we talked about him last night, referred to as a demon-haunted world. There weren't any angels at the super spreader event to keep your grandkids from getting the Rona, Sandy. And in case you're wondering, I'm really fresh out of fucks to give about Sandy and Bruce. I feel sorry for their grandkids. But I would have felt sorry for them without the Rona. Because she has spent a career doing everything in her power to hurt other people. She has railed against the rights of women to self-determinative decision-making about the workings of their reproductive organs. She has railed against lesbians, gays, bisexuals, trans people, queer-questioning people, intersex people, asexual people, all of them, condemning them to hell because they will not bow a knee to her theocratic demands. She's blathered on about the heartbeats of little bitty itsy bitsy precious fetuses. And there's not even a heart to find. So, no. But, you know, maybe there's a come to Jesus moment here, you think? Possibly? Kinda? Sorta? A little bit? Yeah. Steve in New York says, you know you're a liberal when you see stories like these people in Alabama and want to be filled with the glorious feeling of Schadenfreude, but realize these are our fellow human beings and want them to be healthy and don't want them to die. Yeah, I know. Lee says her husband couldn't breathe. Must have been asthma. Well, you know, COVID asthma. Lee reminds us, New York City and COVID. In New York City, starting August 1, hospital workers have to have the vaccine or be tested weekly. The top infection and hospitalization rate is in the same borough. You get 3 guesses and the first 2 don't count. Brooklyn! I still see people saying how 99% plus survive. I will tell you that I have trouble feeling bad when the news is that the unvaccinated are almost all of the hospitalizations. Oh, I was wrong. Wasn't Brooklyn. Good luck being unvaccinated, Staten Island. Luck indeed. Brother Deacon Asa sent me a picture of a sticker from the back of a camper there where he is. Just saw this as my travels take me into the mountains. In case you can't read it, it says, Drunk Campers Matter. Jesus Christ, these people, says Brother Deacon Asa. Yeah, because, you know, that's making fun of the idea that Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. What's that, Sandy? Oh, yeah, we were waiting for the come to Jesus moment.
Some kind of a virus of some sort. We went to the doctor, got antibiotics, got all the treatment we could.
You dumbass! You brass-bound moron! Antibiotics do not treat a virus. Wow, it was some kind of virus, so we got some antibiotics. It was some kind of virus, so we got a box of rocks. You know, some kind of virus, so we got a R.C. Kohler and a moon pie and played Maypole on the Hill. Antibiotics don't work on viruses, honey. God damn it. And she's a professional broadcaster. Wouldn't you like to see their home? Yeah.
But we did not know that we had COVID until my husband got so deathly ill. And so now, yes.
Yeah, because he got so deathly ill, he got to a point where they couldn't not test him. Sandy couldn't stop him from testing him because he was in a hospital. And the hospital has the right to know who has what virus so that they can take appropriate measures to keep, you know, the one-man super spreader there from super spreading it in the hospital so they can, you know, use science to prevent the further spread of the virus. Christians. So many. And such a paucity of lions.
I have it too, but I am also on ivermectin, and as of yesterday, I started feeling like a different person. And
not different enough.
So, thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say. Thank you, Jesus. You might say, well, does this change your mind about vaccines? And I have to say, I'm not ready to declare. I have to just be honest with you at all times, which I am. I'm not ready to declare anything yet. I do.
You got that? She got over it, kind of. Bruce may get over it, possibly. The grandbabies apparently shook it off. So she sets up the straw man of, well, am I going to say to get a vaccine? No, she's not. Because she can't say that. Because people will turn her off. The fools who listen to her unironically will turn her off and go and find someone who will tell them that the vaccine will put little liquid barcodes and little 666s in their bodies that can then be read with Bill Gates's 5G technology. Yeah, Ralphs, you're right. Sandy's blinded by the right. Wrapped up like a douche. Another runner in the night. Oh, please, not that debate. I happen to like the Manfred Mann version. This is idiotically painful. So, that broadcast, that clip that you just heard, 2 minutes and 6 seconds of it, represents, at the very least, stochastic terrorism. Or actually, not stochastic, direct terrorism. It may as well be a matter of her hypnotizing her listeners into killing themselves. No, really, Flavor-Aid is every bit as good as Kool-Aid. Drink it. Ivermectin? That word was in there. Lee heard it. Is she taking hydroxychloroquine? How about bleach? Please put a UV light into her until she's done. I know. And Lee also noting, antibiotics don't work on flu. Not even COVID flu. Or COVID pneumonia. Lee said, sick for many weeks. You know, just like the cold or the flu, sick for many weeks. Many weeks! At any point in time, did she? No, she probably did. I wonder if this is the fucking. I wonder if this is the Rona. Because she couldn't go and get the vaccine. It might have cost her her grift. It might have cost her her hustle. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. Man. Let's run over to the stress line for a minute. Oh, by the way, we are still waiting for Tracy's double nickel challenge to be fully met. It is down to $25 to go. And that will help immensely. It'll get us down to $765. That would be really great if we could finish that challenge off, especially because it's Tracy's birthday and she's doing that for her birthday. And we are in a, well, we're officially at midweek and we're officially in a big old damn hole. Could we finish off Monday? Could we get a start on Tuesday? It'd be really helpful. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Sandy. The stupid is very strong with this one. I mean, it's some Star Wars Force level stupid. Yeah, I mean, there, you know, there's the dark side and the light side, and then I guess there's the derp side. It's not the dark side of the Force operating with Sandy Rios, Matt. It's the derp side.
Come to the derp side. All right, we got Flavor Aid.
Yeah, but really, over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
So that's why I was calling, to see if the challenge had been met yet.
No, sorry.
Come on, y'all. It's my birthday. I don't ask for much. You know, very rarely do I ask for anything. I don't think I've ever asked for anything other than support and love and acceptance and stuff like that, which I get in boatloads.
Yes.
Now, what I'm not getting is cash from a girl. Oh, hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
We're going to get T-shirts. That
yes.
Says, hey, girl, hey. We are so... I'm not going to wear pink, though.
No pink.
Yeah, but I did get pink. No, I did get rose-colored shoes. I did. I've been kind of going on a shoe thing. They're gorgeous. As a matter of fact, I'm going right now to pick them up for my P.O. box. I don't know. I called Macy's because I wasn't paying attention, but I looked on my, because I was like, why is it being sent to my P.O. box? And somehow my account address got changed to my old address, and I'm like, and I've never, when I lived in Sherman Oaks, I never had a Macy's card in Sherman Oaks. I didn't get my Macy's card until we moved to here. So I'm like, I hope there's no shenanigans going on with my shit. You know, and tomfoolery.
Right.
And skullduggery.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, I do know.
So
it makes you a little nervous.
I was listening. It just makes me a little nervous. And I have some, you know how you like, okay, I got to take care of this. And then you forget to take care of it. And then, anyway, I'm not going to go there. It's my birthday, so I'm not going to go there. Oh, my God. So your girl, Sandy, what the fuck, man? Because I'm listening to it, and you said, she said the COVID, what? The COVID pneumonia?
COVID pneumonia.
The bitch just won't say, she won't say COVID-19, will she?
She won't say just COVID. It's got to be the COVID, you know. It's the COVID heartbreak of psoriasis, okay? It's the COVID underboob sweat.
Baby, don't be stuck about the underboob sweat. That's some
learning.
Welcome to my world. And then you get the rolls. Well, that's why I said. That's why you need to get that Lume deodorant. Because I tell you, you can put it everywhere, under the boobs, in between your cheeks. And I'm not talking about the cheeks on your mouth. On your face.
Yep, right. Understood. By the way, you've got, hey girl, hey, happy birthday, Tracy, from Megan. And Darlene just said, happy birthday, Tracy. Your challenge has been met. And Jeremy jumped in and finished.
Yay.
And finished off Joey and Giraffe's challenge. Your challenge has been met. Silent R. Lamar the Magnificent, has gotten us down to Only $15 to go to be fully funded for Monday. And Sister Jude got us down to only $5 to go to be fully funded for Monday.
Hallelujah.
Yes, indeed. So your challenge was met.
Yeah.
Thank you. I told you I wanted you to be out partying and carrying on, but I'm glad you weren't.
Well, no, we're going to go bowling. So my brother's going to pick me up, and I'm going to go to bowling. And it's like $35 an hour to bowl per lane, and only $4 to rent your shoes.
Cool.
And then they have happy hour at the bar in the bowling alley until like good old times. Remember back in the day, happy hour stopped at 7?
Right,
yeah. That's the cock bullshit. It goes until 7.
Nice.
And they do a nice pour, baby. Yes, they do.
What is there a cocktail of choice this evening?
You know, not really.
It's L.A. How's the bowling alley margarita?
The bowling alley margarita is good because that's what I had the last time. And they had, and I tasted more tequila than margarita mix. How about that?
That is a quality margarita.
It was just enough tequila that it wasn't overpowering, but I knew she was there. So I was like, yes.
Very
so,
nice.
Yeah, my brother's going to pick me up at 5 o'clock. I'm stopping at my P.O. box once again. My, like I said, because they sent my shoes here instead of my house. I came home Monday and Dan was looking rather surly. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And she just pointed to the boxes.
Oh, dear.
Well, it wasn't so much the boxes, but they all came at separate times. And you guys have heard Kimba.
And every time, Kimba went wild.
Right, and that was... So it was like 6 boxes. Jan was not happy with me.
Ouch.
At all. I was like, I'm sorry, sweetie. You know, like I wore a new pair of shoes. I have on a shirt that says, "Never underestimate a black woman born in July."
Nice.
I like, damn it. So I wore white. So the shirt is black shirt, t-shirt with white lettering. I have on white linen pants. Oh, remember those the thongs that I showed you with the flower on the top?
Yeah, those were cute.
The Clark.
Yeah.
I have a pair. I'm wearing the white ones.
Nice.
Yes.
Those are adorable.
Oh my God, it's like they're like walking on a cloud.
Oh.
And of course, I am now mad at myself that I didn't buy other colors.
Because they're all gone now. They're all gone now.
You know they are. They're all gone. I'm like, God. See, I have to follow my first mind. When I see a shoe that I like and it's on sale, because the thing is, everything's returnable, you know? So it's not like I have to mail it back. I can take it to any Macy's and return it.
Yeah, we used to have a Macy's down in Charleston. Emphasis on used to.
There's no Macy's in Charleston. What?
No.
Isn't Charleston like a real city?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that was the capital city of West Virginia. Still is the capital city, but no. No Macy's.
Well, they've closed. We've lost a few Macy's out here in L.A. as well. But at least there's still Macy's to go to. They didn't close, you know. The only Macy's in town because it's shit. How many Macy's? There's just in a 5-mile radius, there's 3 Macy's. Studio City, or maybe more than 5 miles, maybe a 10-mile radius. There's the Northridge, Sherman Oaks, and Topanga. That part.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you know, we had a Belk in Beckley. I think I told you about this. Belk was about the nicest that we had in Beckley. And, well, no. They got bought out by, they went bankrupt, got out, bought out by some hedge funders who decided the best way to reinvigorate struggling Belk was to quit selling nice stuff. So it's Walmart with higher prices, but about the same shit.
Okay. No, thank you. That's a fuck you very much there, buddy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Chanel counter is gone. The Lancome counter is gone. Nothing left but Clinique and Estee Lauder, which ain't bad, but I like the Lancome and the Chanel. Yeah.
Right.
Bougie.
See, this is the bougie... This is the reason why it's a good thing that I don't wear makeup. I don't worry about it.
Right.
I'm sitting here like I'm about to, and I'm thinking about if I had on makeup right now, it would be melting. It is so damn hot. I mean, we got a breeze going actually. So this is the first breeze we've had in the last week. Except for, it's so crazy, except for like when I was at the airport yesterday. So it was 76 degrees at the airport yesterday when I took my last trip. And the next thing I know, by the time I get home to the valley, it's 88 degrees. And it's still dark. And it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it's 88 degrees. That part. Okay.
Wow.
So check this out. So after I talked to you, yesterday, I was going into the airport, but they've changed it. So now, if you need a cab, you take a shuttle over to the cab stands and the Uber and Lyft stands or what have you. And so, I get to this taxi stand, and there's a brother who looks like somebody come pick me up. And I didn't know this until today. Because he did call this before I forget, he actually called me to wish me a happy birthday. But anyway, he told me this morning that he had been waiting for 2 hours and the cabs just kept driving past him. I'm just going to say, long story short, this was an amazing brother. He had just come from, being in England for 2 months. And he had all these big heavy suitcases and he wouldn't let me touch it. I said, are you sure? And I said, I'm not going to do it, but I had to front to pretend like I was going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, I had to pretend, you know, I had to front like, okay. Oh, you're insisting. Okay. I'll leave it alone. And once we said, I said that we just got along like gangbusters. So long story short, the meter ran like $40. $35, $40. He hands me a $100 bill, and he's like, "Happy birthday!"
Aww.
So he effectively paid for the challenge. That
dude,
part, I just thought
you.
About that.
Dude,
yeah.
Thank you.
totally. And see, here's the killer part. He took my number. And he's like, and he called me this morning. He actually called me this morning to wish me a happy birthday. And I'm like, okay, I know he's not flirting with me because I know I told him that I'm married to a woman. So, but he was just a genuinely nice guy. And, he's like, I've already given your number out to a lot of my associates. So you're going to start getting this.
Well, double plus excellent.
So I asked him, I said, so what do you do? Because obviously you know what I do. So what do you do? He is a martial artist and a personal trainer.
Oh, my God. So yesterday it was the diving instructor and ski teacher.
Yeah, ski instructor.
You're meeting all the interesting people.
I'm meeting all the interesting black men, black people. You know, now I just need a golf pro. I need a black golf pro because I'm always going to learn how to play ball.
Yeah, no, well, okay, that, or a hockey coach.
No, that's not going to happen because
NASCAR driver?
I don't fuck around with ice skates.
NASCAR?
No. Well, you know what? No. The way I drive, it has been equated with, you know, something, a semblance of a bat out of hell. So I love speeding. I mean, I drive safe, but.
Got to get there. Time's money.
Time's money. Time's a lesson. And my foot does get a little on the leaded side. Heavy and stuff.
No, you're driving safely because the best way to drive safely is to drive with the flow of traffic. And if the flow of traffic is 97.97.5 miles an hour.
90, you got to go with it. So that's my next. So who knows? I might run into a black golf pro. You never know. It's just, you know, because the brother, when Monday said, you know, if you're interested in learning how to scuba dive, let me know, and I'll take care of you. And I'm like, okay.
That could be
kind of
fun.
That's something I've always wanted to learn how to do.
Yeah, that could be fun.
No, I've always wanted to learn how to scuba dive. I've snorkeled, but I've never scuba'd, you know, because that's a whole different kind of thing. So, anywho. So, how are you, my darling?
I'm good. There's big doings afoot. We have a new little non-chain drive-in that's opened up downtown, and today I went.
A drive-in, awesome.
I mean, there's no curb service or anything. You got to walk up to the window, but I went down and got banana splits for the. They were good. You know, they're doing their own soft serve, and the banana splits were fantastic, and they came in like nice plastic boats that, you know, it wasn't like some banana split blizzard bullshit. It was in a plastic boat with a snap down cap, so I was able to.
Okay, you know, I am watching this woman walk into the post office with no mask. I am so glad I'm not going into the post office. I'm going to my P.O. box, and let me get. I guess what color she is there, Bob? Robin?
No.
She's a white woman, just, you know, blonde.
Of course. Karen.
It's Karen. See, today is not, especially after what I was listening to earlier on the show, today would be that I would not hold my tongue. And so I'm just thanking the God of on high and all that other stuff, that I am not needing to go actually into the post office, that I am just going to my P.O. box. Because I promise you, I will be saying something. And I will make sure that you guys can hear everything I said. It'll be a live Karen moment.
I get it.
They kicked her out. They kicked her out. They actually called her a leave.
So she's exiting the premises?
She is. Karen has left the building.
I wonder if she's going back to her car for her mask.
And that's what she did.
I'll be down.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll be down.
Maybe she, I mean, it is not outside the realm of possibility that even people who are taking precautions and trying to be good about it do screw up. I mean.
Oh, honey. That's why I keep masks in my car, you know, because Jen and I have like 3 or 4 masks in the taxi. We keep masks in the Subaru, better known as, you know, the Lesperu.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just better that way because, like you said, you know, we had that moment of freedom for a hot second. And then, you know, nothing.
No, I'm back to screwing. I'm back to screwing up my lipstick.
See, another reason why I don't have to worry about stuff because
you take the mask off and you look like you're 9 years old playing with your Barbie makeup head. because it's just it is all the way from the little from the bottom of your nose to the bottom of your chin, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Oh God, it feels good.
The struggle is real. I don't think Revlon Color Stay could keep up with this stuff.
No, it cannot.
Masks. So, I mean, but I happily wear them. Make no mistake, I happily wear them.
I watched the entire video today. Yes. This morning is amazing.
Was that amazing? Yeah. I mean, I told you it was well done. I told you it was funny. I love the part where she said, you know, let's say a miracle happens, and she's writing. Did you catch all the stuff that she wrote down? And one of them was Jeff Bezos starts treating his employees like human beings. I mean, she's fierce, and like when she spells out the numbers with like little blocks. I don't know if you noticed, but they all said "fuck Jeff Bezos." Number 4, fuck Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. I gotta go back and watch.
Yeah, now it's worth a go back. There's a lot of Easter eggs in there that are funny.
Well, it's just, you know, and thank you for sharing that video with me, because it gave me a whole new insight on what you're about to go through, which makes me
Are you scared? Because I am.
I'm terrified for you. I ain't gonna lie. When I was watching that video, I was like, "Oh my God, this is what my girl is about to go through." Shit. But that just shows, you know, it's one of those things. You know what you're about to go through counters the argument that, you know, you're just doing this on a whim, or it's a choice.
It's just, you know, I went through my bonsai phase and my beer brewing phase, and, you know, it's just a phase.
Now I want, vasoplasty. I want to, you know, and like I said, I'm just watching them.
My vajayjay phase. Sure, why not?
Everybody has one.
Not everybody.
I was talking about faith, you foolish, crazy person, you.
Why do you drag me into this on air? Why, Tracy? Why?
No. Don't try to put that shit off on me. You are a grown-ass woman. No.
Well, okay. That's kind of affirming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are a grown-ass woman. That part. So you are old enough, and you know how I always say I'm old enough and black enough not to give a fuck?
Yeah, yes.
So now.
Yeah, that's me.
So it's like, you're old enough and white enough not to give a fuck.
Because I'm just that free, right.
I mean, freedom is no joke. Hold on a second.
Oh, we're the girls of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're written for us.
Are you singing?
Yes.
Is that the music during intermission?
Yeah. It's intermission. It's intermission. Go to the lobby and get a Coke. By the way, there's a tracking number. Steve in New York had me send it along to you. It should be in your phone now. If you get some bizarre phone call, it'll maybe verifying your location or whatever, because it's, you know, perishable, and it'll be there either, you know, like today or tomorrow or something. Yeah.
Well, cool, because, you know.
And it's going to be perfect. It's perfect.
What am I getting?
I don't remember, but it's going to be freaking delicious.
Jesus, huh? I had no idea. I to tell you the honest to God truth, I forgot about it.
But it's, like I said, it's perfect timing. And, and good news, we are now, hey, how about that? We are fully funded for Monday. Les just chimed in.
Yay!
Sending a Tubman to you. He said it's on the way as soon as I pull over. Les is out on the road. Yeah. And thank you, Les. Thanks a ton. That means that we are now only $280 away from fully funded for yesterday. So that's awesome. Thank you, Les. Thanks a bunch.
Okay. So here's the deal. I'm not gonna do another challenge. I'm not, because I don't want to hear your fusses. Even though, again, I'm a grown ass woman, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. How for never.
No fussing. No birthday fussing.
No birthday fussing. How for never. Okay. So in honor of my birthday, y'all, come on now. Let's at least get yesterday halfway funded. How much is that to be halfway funded for you?
That
for
would be, to be? That would be, let's see, 130 bucks.
Okay.
130 bucks. Gets yesterday halfway funded.
So, okay. $130.
And yesterday was a great program. It's well worth funding.
Yes. It was amazing, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I did contribute some to it, and so did Steve from Georgistan, and I don't know who was on, you know, because like I said, by the time I came on yesterday, you guys were talking about singing vaginas, and I'm like,
oh, okay. Steve sent me the ad. He wasn't kidding. It's a thing.
Oh, wait, what is it? Just, please tell me it's not for feminine hygiene or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, obvious, sure. Let's see. Let me just look here. Maybe I can figure out a way. Let me. Okay, there. I got to look it up, but we will have this in just a second. Got to go to. Say something, Tracy. Cover for me. I'm typing.
Hi. So, everybody, today is my birthday. I'm Double Nickels. It's Double Nickels, and I'm hoping that you guys will help Robin. He's fun for the show for yesterday. So she is not in a horrible shithole on the rest of the
all
week.
All right, Let's see. We gotta let the ad run through. But here it comes. It is for FemiClear Joie de Hoo-Ha. I kid you not, Steve wasn't lying.
What's that?
I treated my yeast infection with FemiClear. Kills over 99% of yeast. It's all natural and organic.
And I mean, it's real and it's a thing, but the way they've decided to present it is with a bunch of women doing yoga, and every time a leg goes up, you hear the la 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 la.
So instead of chemicals, my hoo-ha is full of joy.
Oh, her hoo-ha.
Yeah.
This is the end of Western civilization as we know it.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, Steve's. Steve's moderating in the chat room now because, you know, Steve moderates on Wednesdays. And...
Well, that's not because Sparky don't do Wednesdays.
Yeah, right. Sparky don't do religion. And, you know, Sparky's very lucky for never having been subjected to it. Thank you very kindly to an individual who wishes to remain anonymous. We are now down to 255 to finish yesterday. So that means we're only $105 away from halfway done with yesterday. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
There we go.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is a community. These are the things that we do, that we need to do, because, you know, Robin takes a lot of hits for us, y'all. She listens to people like Sandy and Susan Cruz. And E.W. Jackson.
Oh, we haven't had any.
Jesse Peterson.
Yeah, well, right. And, you know, you forgot to say my fellow Angelino, Jesse Lee Peterson.
You know what? I'm trying not to cuss you out right now.
Not
I
on
don't
your,
claim
yeah, him. Not on your birthday.
See, you're trying. See, you know.
But, no, wait. I can't tell you how many emails I get about your boy Joe Manchin. I am not bearing this kind of burden all by myself. So you better believe he is your fellow Angelino, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Well, then why don't you go ahead and give me Larry Elder, too, since you're throwing Uncle Toms at me left and right.
Well, you know, in for a Tom, in for a step and fetch it, right? I mean.
Ooh, ouch.
Ow.
That's bad, Robin.
See what you have empowered.
Don't put that shit up on me. I already told you. God damn nabbit.
Consarn has to.
Next.
Yeah.
Next thing you'll be screaming.
Well, you know, it's working, Tracy, because Clarence just knocked us down to, $80 to go to get to the halfway point of yesterday. Thank you, Clarence. And there's Les with the Tubman. Thank you, Les. So we're $80 away from halfway done with yesterday, which is fantastically huge.
Okay, so here's the deal. I need somebody. I'm putting out good vibrations. Lay your hands on the radio, brother and sister.
Amen.
bring
me some Crisco and a snake.
I need somebody. I need the listening audience to bless Sister Robin with a $40 or $20 challenge so somebody else can help out too. Come on now, brothers and sisters. We got to help her out. Help us. I'm from the school of help a sister out. How about that?
Amen. Amen.
And
by the way, Matt in San Francisco responding to the Femiclear ad, an unpaid product placement, by the way. I may be needing that someday. Matt says, subject line, Femiclear, just another reason to not take up yoga. Oh God, this was good yesterday. This was wonderful when Steve brought it up yesterday. It just got even more so now that it's real. And I'm told that is gonna. I mean, nobody wants to know, but I'm told that shit is in my future. I'm like,
yes, rewatched it. I watched the video, and you know, speaking woman to woman, the woman to older woman, you know. Earth woman, or whatever the fuck I want to call myself, cisgender, whatever, to a newly formed woman, baby, you talk about hell. You think, if you ever had jock itch, nah. No. Vaginal itching and all that other shit, mm-mm. And you know, not to, what time is it on the East Coast? I'm about to fuck up dinner on the West Coast. Vaginosis.
If somebody's sitting down to dinner on the West Coast right now, game over. It's already run. It's already run in the mountain time zone.
Right. Vaginosis is a nasty motherfucker. Let me tell you, that shit is rank. It's like at times eye watering rank. I'm like, mm-mm.
All the guys in the audience are like, I didn't sign on for this.
Get over it, bitch. Quit your whining. Man up. Put your big boy pants on and keep the shut up. They don't get a say so in this. If they don't like it, you know, don't let the back door hit you with a good floor with you. Yeah, I said it.
No quarter asked, none given.
Mm-mm. many fucks do I have to give?
Fresh one. Behold, the bag. It is empty.
Fresh the fuck out of the fucks. I don't care. I'm at that point where the more I hear about, you know, more people dying unnecessarily, it was one thing when they were dying at the beginning of this, and that was still unnecessarily, especially because more brown and black people died than anybody else.
Well, I have to. I have to tell you, we are doing exactly as you noted. I just got a text from Arnold in PA. You ever seen that cartoon with a character? A character jumps through a wall, and there's a shape of their body where they jump through the wall.
Right.
Arnold says, "Yeah, that's me. That's me getting away from my radio right now."
That my lab was kind of diabolical, wasn't it? Well, anyway, my darling, my love, I'm glad that more people have sent money. And I'm not glad. If I didn't have somewhere to go, I would stay on this phone and going, look at here now.
Did she go get a mask and go back in, or she just leave?
No, she got a mask, and she went back in.
Good for her.
She wasn't frothing at the mouth or...
We are down anonymously by another $10, so that we are at 70. Thank you to our anonymous friend. And now we're down to $64.50 to be fully or halfway funded for yesterday. And wait, it's still happening. Thank you, Henry. We are down to $14.50 from being halfway funded for yesterday. So that is profound. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so very much. Maybe this is in the form of please that we stop what we've been. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is again, you know, and I'm giving out my personal thanks to everybody who has just contributed. Since I started whining about the shit, you know, because I will bully a bitch. I am not above using white guilt. No, I am not. How about that?
There we go.
I will play the race card every time I get a chance. So I will white guilt people if I can. So what did Malcolm say? By any means motherfucking necessary.
There we go.
So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I guess, like I said, you know, the older I get, so I am now officially, well, I haven't actually, let's see, I wasn't born until 9:40 on Thursday, July 21st, 1966. So at this point, my mom is still in labor being treated like shit because she's a single black mother. That part. You know, and being talked to and ignored. Oh God. They wouldn't, because I was a breech baby. Instead of, because they could have turned me or whatever to make it easier for my mom. No. So that's my cue to go because Kim was lost her mind. So anyway, gotcha. I love you guys.
Love you, Tracy. Thank you.
And happy birthday to me. And if you guys keep giving, because the next thing I know, that, you know, it'll be fully funded for yesterday and going into today. I'm not saying that, you know, not saying, but I am saying, do that shit.
I got you. You know, go check on the new shoes. Or, hey, maybe that's your Zabar's order. Who knows? It could happen.
No, that was from Macy's. It's from Macy's. I already got the stuff. I'm already home. I already went to the post office box and everything. No, it's Macy's. So anyway, I love you guys, and I will talk soon.
Sounds wonderful. Happy birthday again, Tracy.
Thank you. Just the happiest birthday imaginable.
And have a wonderful evening.
Bye.
And hey, let me know when the Zabar shows up. See ya. Bye.
I will. Bye.
This is a delightful community. A simply delightful community. Somebody was trying to get in on the stress line while Tracy was on it. If you want to try back, you're more than welcome. We are coming up on the third hour of the program, and well, it's been been a heck of a program so far. And we are, you know, we're still got a prodigious stack. And in his journal today, Joey referenced the interchange between Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and Dr. Fauci. And it was a hell of a thing. It goes on for a little bit. You know, you can tell. Remember when Dr. Fauci would show up in Congress when Nitwit Nero still had the power of life and death over his entire career? And so he kind of had to be a little bit reserved. Well, Dr. Fauci knows that for the next three and a half years, his job is secure. And so he no longer, talk about being fresh out of fucks to give, Dr. Fauci is done with fucks to give to people like Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, who is, you know, board certified by a board that consists of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. You know, Dr. Fauci knows that Rand Paul couldn't put on a Band-Aid without killing somebody, and just the seething contempt comes through so delightfully.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress, Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code.
Unfortunately, it's not a crime to lie in Congress, and therefore the Republican in the House and Senate retain their seats.
Creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronaviruses.
I mean, it almost sounds like Dr. Xi. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here, because Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, has pretty much got that covered. I'm just wondering if he's assuming that Dr. Xi is a woman because her name is Dr. Xi. Come on, you know it's possible, because, you know, Rand Paul is that goddamn dumb. Because, you know, there's a President Xi in China, too. I wonder if Rand Paul thinks that's a woman as well. Because President Xi might not take too kindly to being misgendered that way. Yeah, that's right. Arthur says, one does not lie to Dr. Aquabuddha. Aquabuddha.
Virus genes, spike genes, and combine them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combine genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as
skip a
the
bit,
Wuhan
brother.
Lab.
So somewhere in here, there's a question. Okay, let's try this.
May 11th, where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function.
Let's get the whole question.
In Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Microphone down.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility.
Yeah, he's caught, see. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head have been caught. So he has to start trying to overtalk Dr. Fauci before Dr. Fauci can prove him to be the fucking charlatan that he is.
To humans,
right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly.
Ow, damn!
And I want to say that officially.
Oh, that's not Dr. Fauci talking. That's Dr. Fauci speaking not as private citizen Fauci, but government official Dr. Fauci. I want to say that officially. Jesus. You know, it's kind of like Dr. Fauci is going all Rand Paul's neighbor on Rand Paul.
You do not know what you are talking about.
And he's even got the head bob going. You do not know what you are...
Let's okay, you get NIH. One person.
Let's read from the NIH Chair, definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is
among mammals. Really, really, Rand? Did you have a couple of pops there little gin on the Wheaties this morning, Rand Paul? Oh, by the way, Jeremy says you win. Rand Paul couldn't put on a Band-Aid without killing someone. That's a nice cowbell. Fuck this asshole. Well, no, I won't. No. But, you know, different strokes.
This gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility.
Wait! This has turned into a competition between Rand Paul and Sandy Rios. You know, her and her... Yeah, you know, COVID pneumonia. They take animal viruses that only occur in animals. You mean it doesn't? They don't occur in broccoli? Oh, what a... Sometimes you just need an expert opinion.
You dick!
Yeah, I know.
To humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a sub-award from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
It did come
from
the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility
no,
for
it
those
really
who
isn't.
Funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally resent.
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It
no
is
one is
molecularly
alleging that those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain-of-function research was going on in that lab.
What we're alleging is? Who, Rand? You and that thing on your head? Yeah, I know. Ooh, says Arthur. Can Dr. Fauci ex-doctor communicate the entire GOP? I think he's getting close.
And NIH funded it.
That is
you can't
not
get away from it. It meets your definition, and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You're the one.
Time has expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists.
Not evolution. Yeah, see, hail Satan. There we go. Evolution.
Those viruses are molecularly impossible
no
to result
they are. No
in SARS-CoV-2.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were
they're
animal
not.
Viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying...
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual... I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Ow. And all Rand Paul libertarian ophthalmologist can do is sit there and suck on his water bottle. Because he has been owned. Dr. Fauci came prepared. Dr. Fauci was ready. Dr. Fauci has been waiting for this moment probably for over a year. I know over a year because Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head have been doing this for a year, doing anything they can to divert attention from the fact that one man, COVID Caligula, one man who knew how deadly it was did nothing. Nothing. Told. My God. Told people he knew how deadly it was. But he wanted to play it down. Because he knew that it would impact his hopes for re-election. I think he knew he was going to, even if it wasn't intentional conduct, he knew, Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula knew he was going to fuck this up. Because at the end of the day, when the light goes out and he's in his bed all alone, he knows that all his life he has been nothing but a fuck up. His daddy, his nasty old daddy, what did he call him? The ultimate kraut, told him, all his life, you're a fuck-up. From the time he was little. And that's why he had to bully and brutalize his siblings. You're a fuck-up. But he was the only one that actually wanted to go into the family business. So Fred had to bring him into the family business and then watch him fuck everything up. You know, it has become a truism. It's a law of nature. Everything Trump touches dies, including 600,000 Americans. And God only knows where we spread it to. So it's not just Americans. It's people. It's other people in the world. Hell, it's the people who died in China because of the way he fucked up our efforts to work inside China to maintain surveillance on this crap. Remember? Don't dare forget, he shit-canned, COVID Caligula did, the people we had working and cooperating and surveilling the viral outbreaks in China. But Dr. Fauci came loaded for bear for all of these maggots. And so maggot Senator Roger Marshall, well, he had something to... He had some bullshit to peddle, trying to argue that Dr. Fauci's team had illegally funded gain-of-function testing and research. It didn't go any better for Maggot Marshall than it went for Rand Paul.
Tracked on that statement. And says, I wish I had not used the word smoking gun when it was pointed out to him that this is seen in a number of coronaviruses, including one of the common cold coronaviruses. So,
ow. Yeah, because remember, it does cause the common cold. This is, he said, smoking gun. Senator Marshall thought he was going to be cute and said, do you agree with Dr. David Baltimore, who said that A specific characteristic of COVID-19 is the smoking gun for the origin of the virus, a powerful challenge to the idea of natural origin. So when you hear him say Dr. Baltimore, yeah, he retracted that as soon as he was properly educated.
I believe if you would ask...
So you disagree with him?
Well, I agree with his second statement where he backtracked and said he wished he had not used...
So you disagree with his first statement, though?
And he disagrees with his first statement.
Okay, he's not going to answer the question. We also have the S1 subunit, and I refer to the timeline behind me here, that there was a moratorium placed for viral gain of function in 2014. And I think you'll agree with me that the NIH funded research that led to this an S1 spike that looks very similar, if not exactly, to what's on the COVID-19 spike.
What are you referring to, Senator? Can you please be more specific?
Yeah. So I'm talking about the S1 subunit of the current COVID-19 spike.
What about...
Yeah, see, this is the problem. Senator Marshall doesn't have the first foggy clue of what he's... I mean, he's... The way these guys work, if you've got good staff, you can... good staff will keep a senator from going too far afield and saying things that cannot be backed up. But he's got maggot ideologues in his office because you can't be a maggot senator without having a maggot staff. And so consequently, ask him about the S1 spike. Yeah, that'll get... Oh, well, you know, the S1 spike, when the S1 spike comes in contact with the flagellate and the Dipyrflora hyperfluorostat, well, then your Knutin valve gets loose, and that's how it came out of the Wuhan lab, by God, yeah.
I mean, are you talking about an experiment? Are you talking about a paper that was published?
So I'm talking about...
the Senator Marshall sitting there going, oh, fucked.
Viral research that was done using...
I mean, like there was some this research, you know, and it was viral. I mean, like it was all over the Internet. I mean, I found it on Facebook. You know, they had it over on that website that rhymes with light and fart. I mean, that's what we mean when we talk about something being viral, right?
NIH funding with the North Carolina lab and Dr. Shi developed this S1 subunit spike that looks exactly like what we have on the current COVID-19 spike.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
No, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
That's okay, Dr. Fauci. Neither is he.
Are you referring to the paper of Barrick and Shi in Nature Immunology? Is that what you're referring? I need to know specifically.
Yeah, so Dr. Barrick and Shi printed studies on this S1 unit that was basically the development of the key to the door that was specifically took the original SARS virus and made it so it would bond to the human lung cells.
No, there was no game. If you're referring, Senator, to...
And it's tough what Dr. Fauci's doing right now because he's trying... He's trying to teach calculus to a chimp. I mean, there's been some fascinating communications research done with gorillas, chimpanzees. They can actually learn human vocabulary. They can say things like "I hungry," you know. They can with American Sign Language to the deaf. But they can't do calculus and they can't write Hamlet. That's why the ultimate expression of impossibility or probability is that if you had an infinite number of monkeys and an infinite number of typewriters and they're all just banging away, one of them's going to turn out Hamlet. It's probably more likely that one of them will type out E equals MC squared. But that does not make the Hamlet doesn't make the monkey Shakespeare, and the E equals MC squared doesn't make the monkey Einstein. And the maggots are over there scratching themselves, eating each other's fucking fleas and peeling bananas.
Gain of function by the definition.
Okay, that's not my question.
Well,
would you agree that the spike that was developed there is what's also on the current
COVID-19 but that's irrelevant to anything until you have a context in which you're putting it. You're talking about an S1 and a spike in what context? If you're talking about a paper that was written by them.
But you agree or disagree that it's the same spike?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because, see, if the monkey does type E equals MC squared, you still have to find out if the monkey understands what the monkey just typed. And odds are, the answer is no. I mean, one of the great lines from Hamlet is, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophies. But if you take that one monkey out of the infinite monkeys who come up with Hamlet, and you say, hey, here, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than you have dreamt of in your philosophies. Hey, monkey, what does that mean? And the monkey reaches behind him, shits a handful of poo, and flings it at you, and you realize that the monkey is definitely not Shakespeare.
What you're talking about, Senator. I'm really not sure what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah, neither is the senator, Doc. Good God. The senator had his gin on his cornflakes. If Dr. Fauci walked out of that hearing room and pulled and just pulled a hip flask out and took a good slug, I would not hold that against him for an instant. Because, you know, he's just had poo flung at him by a monkey. You know, there was a collection of Kurt Vonnegut. Apparently I'm in a Kurt Vonnegut phase. There was a collection of Kurt Vonnegut stories and essays called Welcome to the Monkey House. It would be nice if there was some sort of an afterlife and you could just check in, because you know Kurt Vonnegut's sitting there going, saw this coming. Did you see this coming, Dr. Sagan? Saw it coming. Because there's a clip out there of Carl Sagan from like 25 years ago predicting exactly where we are right now. It may be in the demon-haunted world, I'm not sure, but he did an interview thank you, Billable Rick. Billable Rick says, cowbell for you. Dr. Fauci's explanations to Senator Marshall is like trying to teach calculus to a chimp. I'll accept that. I'm kind of happy with that. Meanwhile, Darlene, let me just do this real quick. Let me see if I can find this. There. How about that? It popped up. All right. We're just going to take this, and then I'm going to get to Darlene in Connecticut. Apparently, they found this clip over at MSNBC and Brian Williams' show. The 11th hour. They closed out the program with it. It got kind of viral, this clip did.
Star Wars starts out saying it's on some other galaxy.
Right.
And then you see there's people. And starting in scene one, there's a problem, because human beings are the result of a unique evolutionary sequence based upon so many individually unlikely random events on the Earth. In fact, I think most evolutionary biologists would agree that if you started the Earth out again and just let those random factors operate, you might wind up with beings that are as smart as us and as ethical and artistic and all the rest, but they would not be human beings. That's for the Earth. So in another planet, different environment, very unlikely to have a human being.
Are you saying on another galaxy, it's not possible that there could be...
It's extremely unlikely that there would be creatures as similar to us as the dominant ones in Star Wars.
Right, they're going to be the amorphous, multi-limbed aliens from Norblap 9.
There's a whole bunch of other things. They're all white. The skin of all the humans in Star Wars, oddly enough, is sort of like this.
Right.
And not even the other colors represented on the Earth are present, much less greens and blues and purples and oranges.
They did have a scene in Star Wars with a lot of strange characters.
Yeah, but none of them seem to be in charge of the galaxy. Everybody in charge of the galaxy seemed to look like us.
Yeah, we can't have none of that critical race theory from dead Carl Sagan talking about how the universe is run by white supremacists. God damn it, can't we just enjoy our... Oh, Jesus.
And I thought there was a large amount of human chauvinism in it. Also, I felt very bad that at the end the Wookiee didn't get a medal also. You know, all the people got medals, and the Wookiee who had been in there fighting all the time, he didn't get any medal. And I thought that was an example of anti-Wookiee discrimination.
God love him. You know, it's worth owning the demon-haunted world. Because in it, you know, the subtitle of the demon-haunted world was Science as a Candle in the Dark. And in it he said, I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time when the United States is a service and information economy. Well, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries. When awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. Damn! That is exactly what we just heard with those two with those two monkeys trying to explain trying to explain medicine to an actual doctor who knows what the hell he's doing and has dedicated his he's into his ninth decade of life on Earth. You know, Jimmy Buffett sang in a song called Manana. It's 24 hours, maybe 60 good years. It's really not that long a stay. And what he was saying there, he was discounting childhood because your children are wonderful, but you know one's productive years are circumscribed by helplessness and learning on one end, and helplessness and dissent on the other, and it works out to about 60 good years to get shit done. And no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. When the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question in those in authority, when clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide, almost without noticing, back into superstition and darkness. Some of us notice. Some of us notice. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites now down to, you know, 10 seconds or less. Lowest common denominator programming, reality TV. He's writing this before reality TV, but knowing that reality TV is coming. Credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition. See the aliens guy on the channel that calls itself the History Channel, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. And there we have the maggots at the maggot rallies in 2016 and in 2020 with their T-shirts on. It's like, fuck your feelings! Yeah. And an idiot like Marjorie Trader Gangrene Q-Ball saying trust the science and claiming that her colleague across the hall who has a trans child, that child is still male because of biology. And oblivious to the fact that gender has nothing to do with biology whatsoever. If it did, we would have started talking about gender sometime before the 18th fucking century when it first shows up. I think it was the 18th century, maybe the 17th, maybe the 16th, when it first shows up as a word in French. Celebration of ignorance. Yeah. So Darlene says, Rand Paul mentioned Fauci lying to Congress twice. He was trying to accuse implicitly, arguably overtly, that Dr. Fauci had already lied to Congress. We know these Republican bastards engage in projection. I think congressmen and women should be held to the same goddamn standard. They should not lie when questioning witnesses.
They should be brought up for ethics violations and eventually be ejected from committee assignments after three strikes, but that's too sensible. It's also unconstitutional, Darlene, because of the speech and debate clause. You cannot be held accountable for anything you say in speech and debate under the Constitution. Because that, well, we had the mid-1800s when people were being beaten, stabbed, shot, killed. And a lot of the people who were stabbed and shot and killed were actually killed for telling the truth about slavery. And the people willing to do the stabbing, the shooting, and the killing, and the beating, were proponents of being able to stab and shoot and beat and kill other human beings without anyone being able to hold them legally accountable. Darlene continues and says, Rand Paul is hung up on gain of function on purpose. Oh, yeah, it gives the impression, the misimpression, that he has medical knowledge, but it just allows him to get away with doing the hard work involved with research and deep, honest thinking. Or get away without doing it. Gain of function helps him avoid the truth, just like gym shorts. These Republicans don't work. They just follow the talking points. I'm sick of their shit and dumbing down the American electorate. You can see why Paul's neighbor beat the living shit out of him and why Nancy did a similar smackdown of gym shorts. Amen to all of that, Darlene. Amen to all of that. Oh, no, he wasn't drinking water from his bottle, says Jimmy in the Great Northwest. He was wiping gin off his chin. Guzzler's gin, to be precise. Rand says, Matt in San Francisco, he sent out fundraising emails based off that Fauci exchange. He's so slimy he doesn't even care if he's spreading misinformation that causes people to die. It's about the squeezing more Benjamins out of the stupid crowd. He is so disgusting. He is, in fact... Well, he's repulsive. Rand Paul versus Dr. Fauci. Billable Rick says, down goes Frazier. Forget about the tire marks on Rand Paul's back. He now has ruts all over his body after Dr. Fauci dismantled him. Yeah, I think he didn't just run over him, Billable. He backed up slowly and then burnt some rubber. I've got a proposal. This is Randy Radar. Everyone gets a medal. Then we can all feel like heroes and go home. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think Rand Paul just needs someone to care about him. But the problem is, for anybody to care about Rand Paul, he'd have to stop being Rand Paul. You know those 60 good years I was talking about a minute ago? They're supposed to be... They are supposed to be a progression. You start out at point A and you wind up somewhere down the alphabet. And you've continued to grow and learn. But when you've got an entire political party that is predicated on not knowing and not learning, well, here we are. Aren't we? Because it feels like we are. In point of fact, Steve in New York sent something to me earlier today. Talking about Marjorie Traitor gangrene cue ball. And her citation. You know, you're violating my rights, but I got rights under HIPAA. You can't ask me if I've had the shot, because it makes me uncomfortable, because I've had the shot, and I don't want the rubes to know. And Steve said, you're much more history knowledgeable than I am. Probably not. Does this level of whatever this is find precedent in history? And yeah, we have massive paroxysms of stupidity throughout human history. Some of it can be more forgiven than others simply for the lack of knowledge that obtained at the time. You've seen pictures, especially during the pandemic, of the people who wore the plague doctor mask, and it had a long, pointy, down-curved bird beak on it. And they thought that by filling the hollow space of the bird beak with the, cloth that was soaked in various, you know, floral oils and so forth, that somehow that would catch them, prevent them from catching the Rona. And, you know, it's a guess. Never mind the fact, not the Rona, what am I saying? I'm talking about the plague, the bubonic plague. And, you know, never mind the fact that the vector of the disease was being bitten by infected fleas, you know, that were riding on rats and mice. They were guessing because there was no scientific method then. Because whatever science had existed had been wiped out by Mother Church with its rise to fill the void left by the Roman Empire in the West. Oh, well. But, like I said, some are more forgivable than others. Less forgivable, for instance, is the spasm occasioned by fundamentalist religiosity that was a direct backlash, white lash, against the Enlightenment. The people that we regard as real geniuses, and we will set aside for purposes of this conversation, their many and vast and myriad flaws, you know, slave owners writing constitutions about the value of liberty, you know. But they were, it was an era of brilliant men and brilliant women. The women, of course, went unappreciated and unacknowledged. As I said before, John Adams would have died a pauper were it not for Abigail managing the investments. But they were they had as much education as was available at the time. And they knew that their hope for any kind of a better future for humanity was science. Look at one of the most brilliant human beings to ever exist on planet Earth, Ben Franklin. Now, sure, he wrote Poor Richard's Almanac, and sure, he came up with all kinds of proverbs and aphorisms and the like. But he tried to operate methodically and scientifically. I mean, he founded the American Philosophical Society alongside Agnes's multi-great-grandfather, John Bartram. They were friends. They had a beer together. Jefferson gets credit for founding the University of Virginia, which, of course, was built on stolen labor. You never hear quite so much about Ben Franklin, who despised the Penn family, and they despised him, founding the University of Pennsylvania. There is a, there's a hotel that sits on the site, and just around the corner from that hotel is Franklin's grave. You don't hear about him founding that, though. Mm-hmm. But those men and women were brilliant, and they had as much education as was available. A woman was lucky if she got that education. The comparison between the life of Ben Franklin and his sister, I think her name was Mary, is nothing if not heartbreaking. And again, you know, all based on biology. And so Jefferson and Franklin and Adams and all the others were a part of the Enlightenment that was begun by people like the French Enlightenment. It spread to Scotland and England. Hobbes, Hume. Why can't I remember the name of the Frenchman? You know, people, humans living in a pure state of nature and the property and yada, yada, yada. But there's, and they made horrible mistakes along the way. And they were drunk most of the time, too. I mean, anybody, if you could bring Thomas Jefferson back to the modern era, somebody would be advocating him into an intervention for him inside of the first week he was. They drank constantly. And it's not like the wine was low alcohol either. Jefferson shipped countless goddamn gallons of wine from France to Monticello. You know, where it was stored in wine cellars, and, you know, all the tending was done by people whose labor he was actively stealing. Critical race theory! But they tried to base, they tried to make forward motion. They knew what, they had some inkling of what they did not know. And so Lewis and Clark, when Jefferson commissioned them and sent them out across what was recently purchased from Louisiana, they were referred to as the Corps of Discovery. Yeah, you know, a little racism, a little bigotry in that, because they were going out and they were going to discover lands that actually were discovered by human beings maybe 15,000 years previous. Because there's that. And upon whom the descendants of said discoverers had been living successfully for those aforementioned 15,000 years. But there was a backlash against it, the Enlightenment. And because they, even then, marketing and naming was a thing, it was called the Great Awakening. When in point of fact, a better thing to refer that to would be the Great Dumbing Down, the Great Religious Dumbing Down. And it was a spasm of religious ignorance and reactionary hostility to learning that gave birth to the Second Great Awakening. And they told two friends, and they told two friends, and they told two friends. And eventually, you wind up here, now, with Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, I guess, whose daddy's connection somehow or another managed to get him into the medical school at Duke. I'd like to hope there's some fucking remorse at the Duke Medical School for having let him in. And you get this propagation of pseudoscience and horseshit. That's how you get a guy who can convince people to vote for him by saying that the reason to vote for him was because he was going to do something about those Mexican rapists and all the other miscreants that Mexico was sending, and some of them, I presume, are nice people, and went on after a young woman was murdered by a neo-Nazi by saying there are very fine people on both sides. Oh, God. So, yeah, the spasms of stupidity are a very real thing. And when we have these clips on this program, that's what we're talking about. And the best way to combat it, if there is in fact a way to combat it, is to not be silent in its face. I mean, you don't have to scream or carry on. I don't. But it is okay to say that is just factually not true. Because virtually everything that they mention is factually not true. It's like Dr. Cobia down in Birmingham saying that of all the excuses she receives for people not having gotten a vaccine, the one thing they never offer is my doctor, my physician, who was trained in science and understands modern medicine. No, I didn't even ask. I didn't even ask. But, yeah, because they knew the answer would be get the damn vaccine. And they didn't want to get the vaccine because they've been told so many times that to get the vaccine will do horrible things to them. When the horrible thing is waiting right there, an open box. and a hole 6 feet deep. I mean, that's one of the things that makes, I mentioned people living successfully on this continent for 15,000 years. Jesse Waters. You might remember him. He was the little neo-maxi-zoom dweeby who was a protege of Bill Falafel O'Reilly. And you might recall that Bill Falafel O'Reilly, in addition to being a sexual predator, would send Jesse Waters out to, with a camera crew, to torment people that he wanted, that he, O'Reilly, wanted to target. And so Waters has since been elevated, and he shows up on things like Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda's The Five, sitting next to, oh, I don't know, Geraldo Rivera, responding to something that Representative Cori Bush had said. And this goes back to the 4th of July. When they say, Representative Bush tweeted, when they say that the 4th of July is about American freedom, remember this, the freedom they're referring to is for white people. This land is stolen land, and black people still aren't free. And there's not a fight to be had over that. There's some, maybe there's some dainty and delicate white fragility, but there's no cogent argument to be made. Okay, well, maybe Manhattan. There's this legend about the beads being exchanged for, right. The indigenous people who were here had rivalries with other indigenous groups. When the white people landed in Virginia, they made the miscalculation of thinking that if they could get the white people on their side, they could get the upper hand against the other tribal groups with whom they were not getting along. I mean, this was not some sort of Eden, some sort of paradise. It could feel that way in some senses, but no, it wasn't. And The Cherokee sold most of central Appalachia to white people. And they are said to have said to the white people, well, you can have it, but you're going to have a hell of a time holding it because it is a dark and bloody ground. And that's almost like an unofficial nickname for Kentucky, the dark and bloody ground. And it was, because the Cherokee had been fighting over hunting rights in Appalachia, because it was a great place to hunt and fish and live in the warm weather months if you're a semi-nomadic people. And they'd been fighting with the Delaware and the Shawnee and members of the Haudenosaunee for God knows how long. So they figured, we'll put the English up there and let them slaughter them for a while. And they did. There are stories about my multi-great-grandfather sending his wife and children to hide in the swamp. I've seen the swamp. While he plowed the fields with a rifle in one hand, the plow in the other, the handle of the plow in the other, and the traces to the mule in his teeth. And the indigenous people who lived here didn't take kindly to having their land stolen. So Cori Bush is absolutely right. It was stolen land. It's still stolen land. But, well, because Jesse Waters is a millionaire genius, he's decided to literally whitewash the blood that soaked this soil.
Well, you can also say good things about this country. It doesn't have to be picking scabs every single day. That's also good relationship advice, Geraldo.
Picking scabs. You know, talking about the brutal way that this country was built is picking scabs. No, that's knowing history. You damn dweeb.
Congresswoman Bush said two things.
I need another sentence to go with that.
Congresswoman Bush said two things, that really dumb things. She says this land was stolen. This land wasn't stolen. We won this land on the battlefield, and we bought it. Right? We purchased Spain. I mean, we purchased Florida from Spain.
Yeah. Of course, the Spanish, well, they didn't purchase the land from the people who lived in Florida any more than we purchased the Louisiana, you know, we purchased the Louisiana but from the French, but they didn't purchase anything from the Lakota people or the Pawnee people or the Ojibwe people. I mean, that's like saying, oh, no, that bridge over there, the one, yeah, the one between Manhattan and Brooklyn. Yeah, that's mine. I bought it. Guy sold it to me. Yeah.
We have the receipts. What, do you want to give Florida back to Spain?
How about the Seminole?
Spain probably wouldn't take it. But what about them, Geraldo? We won that territory on the battlefield. It was an ugly, brutal battle, but we won it.
It was ugly and brutal at Sand Creek when Colonel Chivington responded to one of his men asking what to do about the women and children, and he responded by saying, kill them. Kill them all. Nits make lice. Yeah, you sent in massive European-style armies against people who, in some instances, were fighting with stone tools. Hell, we want it on the battlefield! I guess what kind of blows my mind is the degree of ignorance that is proudly on display here. But again, this goes back to the Carl Sagan quote, where people will just credulously swallow whatever is put before them. This was the most populated hemisphere. These two continents were the most populous on the planet in 1491. After 1492, that population is reduced by something on the order of 90%. Shut the fuck up, Jesse Waters. Six feet down, Jeremy says, that's a nice gesture, but doesn't happen as often as one thinks these days. It was mainly used to get past the frost line in the past. We don't have that nearly as deep now as we did, say, 20 years ago. Most graves are getting close to 3 feet down now. I'll be damned, I did not realize that. Of course, I don't know a lot of sextons. And I'm trying to remember where we are fundraising-wise. I think $80. Oh, was it 60? Away from the halfway mark. Trying to get down to 450 for fundraising this evening. And I think we're still above the $500 number. So thanks to everybody who's jumped in. If you'd care to jump in now, or if the overnight crew would care to jump in, that would be fantastic. I'll check that out after the program. Thank you, Ron. And over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Paul from Parts Unknown.
Oh, my God, Paul. How are you?
I'm stressed, so it's a good thing I'm calling on the stress line.
Hopefully there will be some respite. I think I probably know why you're stressed, but tell me.
Oh, you don't. I was actually going to ask you for some advice, Robin. I live out here in liberal parts unknown, and three weekends ago, my favorite local watering hole closed down because they were getting online threats and in-person threats. Because they were just trying to follow the state guidelines for COVID and masking out here and trying to ask people if they are vaccinated, and if they weren't vaccinated, please kindly wear a mask. And they were getting such pushback and feeling so unsafe, they said, fuck it, we're going to close our doors. And then last weekend, a friend of mine that lives in my neighborhood got his house paintballed with red paint, and he just finished painting his own house like 3 weeks ago with white paint. And he's currently unemployed, but he's been protesting with Black Lives Matter, and his wife is Chinese, and by that I mean she's actually from China. And this is the fourth incident. Like, they've been escalating, and it's pretty liberal out here in parts unknown, but my basic question is, how do you push back against the Stump Liquor Bunch without hitting him in the head with something heavy, because that's the only idea I've got left.
Well, you've seen that scene in Blazing Saddles where Alex Karras punches the horse in the face. I mean, they are deliberately trying to push your neighbor into that point. What you have to do, I mean, some people would say gun up. I say camera up. It's like
they had cameras. They had cameras. They didn't get the license plate of the vehicle, and this happened at a little before 5 in the morning. Like, it's not teenagers pulling pranks, because teenagers aren't awake at 5 in the morning. The good side about it is that the neighborhood and his protest community came together and over the weekend, and myself included, and helped repaint his house somewhat. And to clean off the marks, they clean off the marks of his cars, on his cars, him and his wife's car, because they shot up the car too. And just, I mean, that part of it's good, and I like the community strength coming together. But
how has the law enforcement response been?
His frustration right now is he can't even get the law enforcement to qualify it or even consider it a hate crime.
Do they give some rationale for that? Because they didn't spray paint any particular words? I mean,
not that he's communicated to me.
I mean, are any of the other houses being paintballed? Say, houses that don't have Black Lives Matter protesters or Asian spouses in them? I mean, it seems like there's a little deductive reasoning that should be available here.
Oh, yeah, and from the camera, you could tell it was like he was targeted in a sense of when they tried to drive away quickly, they went into a dead end because they didn't know the area. They had to turn around and go back through the cameras and go back down a different side street past my house, which is why how I found out about it, because he came to my front door and asked my wife if he could borrow our security footage. To see if we could get the license plate, which did not work. But, like, that's the... I'm just frustrated, I mean, because it's, like, it's personal, and then you pair it with all the other stories going around, but, like, election officials being so intimidated they quit. And yeah. it's escalating, and I hear the stories of John Bridavo with the fireworks at his house, with scaring his donkey and everything he's going through, and I'm out of options of trying to think about how to stop this other than to just endure it, but it just keeps getting worse, and I'm just frustrated.
Can I ask you a silly question? Might be silly.
Go ahead.
Is this the kind of neighborhood where people have mailboxes out at the end of the driveway?
I mean, yeah, but not like a, well, maybe I can't speak for his exact street, but on my street, it's just for the little street I live on, it's just a group of like 9 mailboxes and one of those big steel box things for the entire street. I don't think he's got a mailbox outside his house.
Well, the reason I'm thinking in terms of the way those things are placed, If he lives on a cul-de-sac and there's a community mailbox up the street a ways, if you put a camera on the mailbox and these things that, well, like I'm trying to think what the Arlo, there's an Arlo system. Those little suckers are weatherproof and they are magnetic, and they'll just clunk onto metal if it's something that responds to magnetism. And just point it on down the street. Suckers drive by again. You'll get them. You'll get the plate.
That's a good idea. I'll bring it up to him. He's bought 2 more cameras, and he already had cameras. Like, he's got the footage on film, but not enough. It's grainy. It's dark. You know.
Yeah.
You could identify the make, model, and color of the vehicle. You can't really see the person too well. You know, obviously they're wearing a hat and some sort of bandana or mask. You can't see clearly to hide their identity. It's just, it's just frustrating. And well, you basically, know,
you know, I know that, Paul, you mentioned the fact that they're wearing hats and masks. That ought to be one of those things we call a clue for law enforcement. I mean, you don't, you know.
They don't want to get involved. That's the thing. Like, they just, the police don't want any part of this dispute.
Okay, so this
is this
a local municipal police department?
County.
Okay, it's time to escalate. You go to either your state police, no. Actually, given the administration's position, and given what a great deal of effort they've poured into pushing back against anti-Asian hate, I'd go to the FBI.
Would they even take it up federally?
It's a federal crime. If the only person being attacked is the person who has the Asian spouse, they've got resources they can bring to bear. Among other things, I would point out, Paul, with these assholes, they can't help bragging. They're bragging about this somewhere. They're bragging. You know, I don't know if it's maybe on a chat app or something. You know, these assholes may be dumb enough that they're bragging about it on one of those websites where these assholes congregate. You never underestimate their stupidity. I mean, look at how many people are being convicted by the videos that they shot during the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will recommend that to my friend who's going hammer on tongs in this, just because his wife is very, very worried for obvious reasons. And it's,
do they have kids?
It's just gone from stealing the sign that's in the yard to spray painting the signs in the yard to getting a threatening letter. And not threatening, but like, you know, a letter. They wrote on an old sign telling them that all lives matter and yada, yada, yada. But nothing, no important key hate words in it. It was only about 30 words long.
Make no mistake, Paul. All lives matter is a hate phrase. The only people who use that are the people who are essentially racist in the first place. And it is lingua franca inside racist communities and organizations in the United States.
All right. Thank you. I'll pass it on to my friend, escalating it to the FBI. Because, I mean, that's his frustration. There's enough there, just no one wants to touch it. So, yeah, it's just been frustrating, and I'm also frustrated with the COVID situation where you've got politicians basically counseling their constituents to die. And it's getting worse, and COVID cases are on the rise. And my stepdaughter is unvaccinated still because she's too young, and they're not looking to possibly vaccinate kids under the age of 12 until September, just by how the regulations go and the time it takes. And it's all just, I'm just in a not fun mental place where I'm just like,
this is not hard. I completely understand. And, the Delta variant is roaring across the United States. And the Lambda variant's out there just, you know, waiting in the wings for its, you know, for its cue. I started the program off with, you know, the story of that doctor in Alabama who's watching people beg her for the vaccine when they're about to be intubated. And and she has to tell them, I'm sorry, it's too late. And she knows in a couple of weeks they'll be dead. And I don't know how you, I mean, at this point in time, and we've mentioned it on the program sometime in the past, what we're talking about here with these people is nothing less than the deprogramming that used to be done with cult members, you know, like Moonies. And, you know, you'd have to take an individual and take them somewhere way far off in the woods and deprogram them for 6 weeks before, or else they would just run right back to the cult. Now, how do you do that with 30 million people, Paul?
I don't know, but my question to you is that your folks grew up in the Depression era. Did they ever tell you, like, I mean, or maybe you know historically, or maybe Dr. Bill knows, or anyone in the Horn community, at some point, the Democratic Party had, at the height of the New Deal in the 30s, they had, what, like 80 seats in the Senate? And two-thirds or more in the House?
Yeah, that's when...
Like,
that's
what was the moment?
That's the time
when... What was the moment that started?
Go ahead.
What started that moment? What happened? Did things just get so bad that people stopped voted for Republicans? What
yes.
was the moment that changed people's minds?
That was the Depression. That was... and it wasn't hard to tell who had brought the Depression on. It was brought on... by, 10 years of Republican laissez-faire economics and, a political philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. And a combination of events arose, you know, things like the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, the market crash, the fact that, you know, the economy was roaring in the United States, but Europe was still bleeding from the First World War, and it caught up economically. And you know, the American people, and remember, we're talking about a time when people of color still couldn't vote. But people who had been voting Republican all their lives stopped because it was so bad, and it was so obvious that people like Herbert Hoover were not going to do anything, and the Republicans in Congress were not going to do anything, that even people who had not needed help before needed help. And they realized that the only way they were going to get that help, Paul, was if, in fact, they made a wholesale change. And that's how it happened. And
so that's all right?
Yeah, I mean...
Is that the answer for us now? We just got to let this country become a huge shithole enough that people will just go, okay, maybe it's time to vote for a Democrat.
I don't know. I don't know if it is, Paul, because... You know, there was radio back then and newspapers, but that was about it. But even, you know, during the 20s, you had the heyday of the rise and return of Klan 2.0 at one point in time with 100,000 people marching down, Klansmen marching down Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C. But eventually, you know, they were affected by the crush as well. You got to remember... FDR does not take office until March 1933. So the crash happens in the fall of 1929, and this country languishes 1930, 1931, 1932. And by the time FDR takes in March of 1933, FDR takes office, and that's rather similar to what Joe Biden was facing, and he's dealing with it in similar ways, but it's harder now because it is so much more difficult to cut through the din of hate and misinformation because it's all around us. And so the only hope we have is that we, you know, like I said earlier, you don't have to scream, you don't have to carry on, but we have to be brave enough to speak out and say, we've got to make it better. I mean, the Republicans today were bragging about the fact that they will filibuster to stop the infrastructure bill. They will let America
yep.
crumble because they're willing to kill this country for political points.
Yeah, and I get that. I understand that. And one thing that did lift my spirits is one of the people in the protest community at the house painting party for over the weekend said that we outnumber them. So they can't win. They can only make us give in.
And there's an entire machine dedicated to that. I know you listen to the podcast a lot. You've heard this community discuss the fact that anybody, anybody who says, well, you know, the political parties are the same. You know, there's not a dime's worth of difference. No, bullshit. That is misinformation deliberately put forward to make people give up. George Wallace said it. Ralph Nader said it. Jill Stein said it. And it's simply not true. There's all kinds of soft voter suppression. That's one of them. You know, why do I want to take the trouble to go vote? They're all the same anyway. Nothing's going to happen. You know, the absolutely nauseating both-siderism that you get from the multimillionaire media. It is designed to keep people in their place. Because we are dealing with elements of fascism in this country. And, you know, one of the promises of fascism is, as long as you behave and keep your head down, things will be pretty comfortable because it's not going to come to you. We're dealing with them.
Yeah. I guess my other question is, and this is like a social question because I don't understand social parameters and how non-neurotypical people will emotionally react to things sometimes. But why isn't there more pushback from the Democratic Party? Like, throwing a little fire in speeches, stuff I've written, like, you know, you're not the party of personal responsibility, the party of off by technicality. And you, what major accomplishment have you done in the past 20 years except not catch Osama bin Laden and drive us into massive debt and ruin by a 20-year war that's gone nowhere and call yourself fiscally responsible? Like, why isn't there, you know, the kind of massive fiery debates that were between Douglas and Lincoln? Not that should go on for hours, but, I mean, there have been some debates where both sides are throwing fire and the Democratic Party just seems to keep playing the nice card. And that's not a bad strategy, but it's not working.
Well,
I
think that's an impression that we get, but I don't necessarily know that it's entirely accurate. There are plenty of people pushing back. There are people in the Congress who want. I mean, look, the Democrats in the House did their job and sent powerful bills to the Senate. It's 2009 all over again. The Democrats in the House under Nancy Pelosi have done their job and done it well, and they have kicked ass and taken names and name checked all along the way. I mean, there is some fierce debate. There's some fierce statements being made on the floor of the House, and there's fierce there. But again, you got to get people to cover it. Some of this has to come back to the media. You got to get people to cover it. You've got to get news organizations to cover it. And they have a vested interest in putting forward nothing but another day of horse race politics. Oh, look, we've got a poll. Oh, good. Let's talk about the poll. And any time, you know, it's the biggest gang of crybabies, the Republicans, that you've ever seen in your life. Because that story about Harry Truman, when somebody hollered, "Give them hell, Harry," and he said, "I don't give them the hell, I give them the truth, and they think it's hell." They've been crying for a century. Oh, they were mean to me. I mean, Jesus Christ, Joe Manchin stopped a Biden nominee over mean tweets. Good God.
Well, Ted Cruz, I saw an article, Ted Cruz is holding up a lot more appointments still. I guess with that, what is that called, the anonymous hold thing or whatever? I mean, I'm not familiar with all the Senate rules.
Yeah, and that stuff, you know, that stuff's institutional. It can be dealt with, but you've got to get to a point where you can deal with it under the rules as they exist. And as long as you've got Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema out there, who value not a non-democratic procedural rule over the needs of the American people, you're screwed. Because the thing you've got to remember, Paul, is that this government was not designed to work quickly or efficiently. If you think about it from a systems standpoint, a systems analysis standpoint, three branches of government that are constantly engaged in dynamic tension against one another is not a recipe for success. It's a recipe for making sure stuff doesn't happen.
Well, unfortunately, we're at a spot where we need something to happen. The COVID response, and I'm not blaming Joe Biden. It's the American populace, and maybe the news organization messaging. I mean, a lot goes into it. Is a colossal failure, just monumental. And all I can think about before going to bed at night is how handling this pandemic is a dress rehearsal for handling climate change. And we can't get enough people to wear fucking masks. Just to wear masks. And how are we going to get them to take public transportation, stop driving cars, stop burning oil, stop buying plastics to recycle? Like, how are we going to get citizen involvement for climate change where we can't get simple, the low-hanging fruit of, here's a free mask, here's a free vaccine, would you please take a shot and put this on? No, I'm not doing that. And then people die. And I'm baffled. I just don't know what to do.
That's a perfect example of the difference between then and now, Paul. Because in the era, you know, the Depression era that you're talking about, polio ravaged this country and this planet. And an all hands on deck scientific effort was put forward to come up with a polio vaccine, and as soon as they came up with it, it didn't matter who you are. People were lining up to get it because they saw firsthand what it was like to have a loved one wake up one morning, and I apologize for the use of this word. I'm just at a loss for anything else. It was real. They saw children, they saw adults wake up one morning paralyzed, crippled, hale and hearty one day, in a state of physical ruin the next, and on the way to death. And that's one of the reasons why I so thoroughly detest and despise Mitch McConnell. He is a polio survivor. And he will not do his part to make sure that a ravaging pandemic doesn't destroy this country. It is a national security threat. I'm sure that you know that but better than anybody else. But the difference was, back then, whatever the politics were, people were desperate to listen to the doctors. Now, because it's no longer politics but some sort of cult ideology, doctors can't get through the din. I mean, I was begging for my vaccine by the time that I got it. I was just beside myself. But that's because, again, I know history. And at that point in time, and it's telling, because a state like West Virginia, Paul, did a pretty respectable job of vaccinating frontline healthcare workers, people around elderly populations, and the elderly themselves. And the elderly weren't going, no, I don't want it, because they were old enough to remember people in iron lungs. You know, maybe, this is a little bit over the top, but maybe if we had some means of showing people what it looks like to be on a ventilator and people actually got to watch people die, I mean, maybe we're that far gone, Paul. Maybe that would make a difference. Because Dr. Cobia down in Birmingham says that she's actually having a little more success lately because she's telling the families of the dead, for God's sakes, your 20-year-old son just died. Go get your vaccine. And it suddenly becomes existentially real for them.
Well, I don't want it to come to that. And I've got a lot of friends, you know, having a young kid, you got a lot of friends with kids the same age and whatnot, and they're all terrified because we're all vaccinated as parents, but none of the kids are. And this Delta variant is creeping through, and it's in our county now, and numbers are going up, and we just don't want our kids to catch it because the Delta variant is hurting younger people more than the original, it seems.
I don't want
long-term.
Right.
And just freaking it, just freaking out.
Can you give us the benefit of your scientific expertise? Why is it that we can't give the vaccine to kids under 12?
They're just testing to make sure it's safe. I heard about this on a news report with an interview when talking to a pediatrician. When you go below the age of 12, when a child is 12 or older, they're in a sense basically an adult in terms of physiology. Yes, there's puberty and everything, but their organs are more developed. They can handle more toxin, that type of thing. There's a chemical term we use for poison. It's called LD50, and it's the amount of poison it takes to kill 50% of your test population. And it's usually so much poison per pound of individual. So much weight of poison. But when you start talking about kids, that number changes because it takes a lot less poison to do it. Because they don't have the fully formed organs. They just can't take as much of a shock to their system. And so it can affect them very incredibly differently. The breakaway points are like from birth to about 2. You have a completely different they can react completely differently. Drugs can react completely differently. And then and then another breakaway from 2 to about 10, 11 years old, 11, 12 years old. And it's just a very different organism on a chemical level for the purposes of poisons, drugs, and vaccines. And so they don't know what they wanted, what it'll do, and they're just moving very slowly and very carefully because you don't want to release something that has horrible side effects and adverse effects on your children because it's a PR nightmare and it will cause long-term.
And let me guess, there's really no way, the side effect profile could be entirely different for the under 12 set than it is for the over 12 set. I mean, whatever the unpleasant side effects were for those of us who had them getting our doses, you could have something much worse or completely differently bad in the pediatric population.
Yeah, and all you need to know is if you see how much damage it does for people, for very young children that discover drugs very early and are taking illegal drugs of various kinds from the age of 10 to 20, it ravages their body because they're still growing and they're still changing and it can inhibit brain development and all sorts of stuff. So you just never know what it'll do. And so go slow and careful. And I appreciate the time they're taking. And it's just sort of, will they be able to get support? The clock runs out and there's Delta variant everywhere.
Well, and it's not just that the clock runs out and there's Delta variant everywhere, Paul. I mean, I'm not disagreeing. It's that the clock runs out and we are hell-bent on kids going back to school. You know, one of the things that Dr. Cobia talked about in Alabama is that we're coming back on kids going back to school in a state where 70% of the population is not vaccinated. How is that not a recipe for disaster?
You're definitely risking it on that wheel of fortune. There's a quite a bad square on that spin that you're about to take. Anyways, I have to go. It's past showtime. Thanks for listening, and I'll pass that FBI advice to my friend. That's a really good idea.
And tell him not to take no for an answer. You know, you got to show up, and you got to act like you know what you're talking about. So study up on what the administration has said about anti-Asian violence and kind of be able to repeat it chapter and verse, and then they'll be less likely to just dismiss, I hope.
Well, he's a political science major, so he'll definitely read up on the rules.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Robin. Have a good night.
Paul, you too. It's always so good to hear from you. Take care, my friend. Be well and be safe.
You too.
An unlooked for, profoundly information-rich conversation to close the program this evening. We don't hear from Paul from Parts Unknown a lot, but when we do, he leaves us with a lot to think about. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't get it in time. Shorty in LA just sent a note. Hey, Paul, serious question. Do you think America should start saying the word shedding instead of spreading? My point is the coronavirus is a shedding virus. Yeah, you shed particles. Think about, well, anybody who has a dog with long hair or any kind of cat at all, and any sort of, I've got an old pea coat that, well, I can't be around. It just turns into an animal hair coat because of shedding. So, I guess we're looking at something on the order of $800 for tomorrow. But thanks for responding to Tracy's clarion call and getting us down as close as we did get. We took a bite out of Tuesday. Got some. We're fully funded for Monday. Got some taken care of in Tuesday. And I thank you all for that so very much. And so we got a little overtime in. That's awesome. And thanks to each and every one of you who are subscribers via Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much to our a la carte contributors. You know what you're doing. You're keeping independent broadcasting alive. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Listen, please tell other people about the program. I want more. I've always wanted more people involved in this conversation because the more people we bring into this conversation, the more the information gets out, the greater the discussion becomes. So, if you wouldn't mind, yeah. And some of you already do, and thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Nicotine went the wrong way. That was not the Rona. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. By the way, Les reminds us when Paul was talking about the cops, there's a reason you don't see cops and Klan in the same room. They won't help because they're all on the same side. On the other hand, if a 6.5 Creed hits their car, you won't see them no more. M-O-O-R. I get your point. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. It's a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. You know, when we talk about COVID and the Delta variant, it's here in West Virginia now. It'll become the dominant strain here if it isn't already. Well, imagine breathing toxic dust off a mountaintop removal operation for 20 years. You're already not well. Guess what the Delta variant does? precisely. And Gina, always, 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 it's all for you. Please stay safe. Take the things Paul says to heart. Don't feel at all bad about continuing to wear your mask around the unvaccinated. That's wisdom at this point. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wear gloves if you feel that necessary. Maintain your social distance. But for God's sakes, if somebody with a thing on his head comes towards you hooting and grunting and hollering about gain of function, ignore that person like the plague, because he is. Later.